Blog Talk Radio.
This is TJ Morris with ET Radio. Welcome aboard. We are on planet Earth, orbiting through space together on the same blue marble. I love that movie, Men in Black. Well, anyway, it is today, 10/16/2012, at approximately 800 or 2000. I guess I should say 8 p.m. or 2000 hours. That works better for those of you civilian or military. I understand that our co-host Janet Lesson will be back tonight. However, I don't see her on the board yet, so we will continue. I'd like to speak to everyone tonight about calling all light workers and truth seekers. I am going to bring in the white lighters. Some of you call them ETs. And being that I believe alien civilizations exist and that I am one being a DNA enhanced, having physical 3D dimension with UFOs, I am having a coming out party. So it's like I'm coming out. And we're going to be trying to do that. We've sort of screwed up a few timelines prior, 07, 97, 2007. 2012, but who's counting, right? So the government is. They're waiting on me, folks. All right. Well, in the meantime, those of us that can't be killed, you know, the husband, you know, the guy that went to rescue President Reagan when he got shot and all that. You know, who did President Reagan call to find out who shot him? Thomas Ray Morris, United States Army Staff Sergeant, too many, and a lot of people have no clue that he is also the commander of Gus, the extraterrestrial ship. But then a lot of people call us Nordics or Greys or Mixes or we work together. They don't know. They call us Pleiadians, Andromedans, you know, who knows, various names. But very few people know my real name, and that's okay because we all have at least, what, 72 or so, because some of us say we're all God, God forms, God particles, particles, waves, dark energy, matter. We all came through the universal hole, which created the implosion that happened to be what they call the Big Bang Theory. But who's listening to Steve Hawking anyway, right? So anyway, regardless of your programming, because I just pushed a heck of a lot of buttons that we're not supposed to do because that is not politically correct, I think that we should discuss a whole new category in this world, which I promise to never touch because words are very powerful, as is Nordic magic. And that's okay because I love Blue Fairy. I love the things that people such as Walt Disney has created for us, including Mickey Mouse, although it's totally misunderstood around the world. So I've got people that, since Janet's not here, I do remember two people that were very fun last night, had a good time, a brand new person that has agreed to work with me on planet Earth. He claims to have been schooled by the Billy Meyer people. And he had the SKO Industries or organization or corporation or LLC, I don't really know. I think he called it SKCO. But he's coming around to be the person that will probably take Billy Meyer's place for me, since I seem to have a powerful memory, being that I was a walk-in on January 27th, 1974, when I died and had my daughter, which was a little blue baby, and she relates to Avatar and all that. So she's a very spiritual being. But we are going to hold on to the TJ energy, which happens to be, ironically, they say there's no coincidences, that my initials are TJ. I thought it was for Teresa Jeanette. But it could be for something else, considering I am Semyase. But I wasn't discovered until... in the last 48 hours, which gave us a whole new awakening to be more obvious, as in coming out and the awakening of who we are for the Ascension Age, which officially begins 12/21/12. And I haven't decided if we're going to have 3 days of darkness yet or not. So, I don't know. I'll ask my husband what he wants to do, because he is the powerful commander of the ship that we call Gus. If you want to read about it, it's in the Roswell UFO Encounters book. He also has several other books, the one that he can talk about when he comes on board. I have several people here, including Steve Kelly and my husband, Thomas Ray Morris, that will spend a little time with us tonight. My husband's debuting for the first time is Thomas Ray Morris, the author, who is probably not going to be around very much longer, which you can see I put breaking news about 7:42 tonight. And he told me if we're going to have him speak for us as an author and commander of Gus in his ships, in his books, then we should have him soon, because he doesn't expect to be around next year in 2013 after the summer. But we're all dying. So here we go, folks. Stand by. Are you ready? You're on 626. Are you there? Area code 626.
Oh, that's me, Teresa. How you doing? Semyon.
Oh, hi. Great. Hello. How are you?
I'm great. Long time no see.
I know it. Stand by. This is Steve. I'll let you introduce yourself. Let me get my husband on here. Thomas Ray Morris, debuting for the first time officially in the world. How are you? Are you on board?
I'm here.
Great.
I don't know.
Okay, well, let's let you introduce yourself, and then I'll let Steve introduce himself.
All right, she already told you I'm Thomas Morse. I was informed that today would be politics, talking politics. If it's old politics, I can add a few cents. If it's the new age, then I'm afraid I'm not in the loop anymore. I cut myself off. I don't watch TV, don't watch news, don't listen to news. I cut myself off 2 years ago because I'm not able to do anything about it, and why get depressed over it if you can't do anything about it?
Oh.
And that's me.
Okay, I had someone calling in from Canada. I apologize to you. I lost you. If I had asked you to come on tonight, or if you can call back in, I would appreciate it. I saw you. I was just getting through my introduction because my husband has never been on officially as Thomas Ray Morris. The official man that worked for President Reagan was called to his side, and I would like him to tell his story. Steve Kelly has agreed to help me be a project manager for our new Atlantis and New Beginning for 2013. So how are you tonight, Steve?
I'm doing great. And, hey, Tom, it was nice meeting you earlier this evening, and good to hear your voice again. Real quick, I was the president of SK Industries, which was a laser manufacturing company. We made solid-state lasers primarily used in laser aiming systems for the military and special forces, law enforcement, and anti-terrorist groups. Yes, as she mentioned, I did have extensive work with the Billy Meyer people, Wendell Stevens, and the Britton Lee elders, and they're responsible for turning me on to all the UFO information and getting me in the metaphysics community. How's that for a brief explanation?
All right. Yeah, because we're going to have to let Tom get on and off probably, but I think it would be wonderful for the world to hear you two converse. I know I would enjoy it personally, and tonight's about politics and however you'd like to get started. Tom would like to sort of give you a I don't know what he's going to talk about. I didn't brief him other than say politics and ask him to come on board. After Steve had agreed to help me go on forward to having to put this convention together, we're going to probably start over here, and then we'll move back over to where Steve is and do one on the West Coast. But he is going to be the project manager. Tommy Hawksblood is going to be the head over here because I've already picked him, Steve, but you will be the project manager, so you will work with him. We're all associates. Tom and Steve are now associates, and we all just work together. Excuse me. Go ahead. Excuse me, Steve, can you say something about how you foresee maybe working Tom into your life and for this event? Because he's old school, but maybe you guys can create something together here tonight.
I'm all for it. There's a lot I've got to learn about his background. I know we discussed some of the New Age stuff, and I know he has a very strong Christian background, and I think that's a good thing, especially as we try to reach out to more of the people out there. The Christian community is one of the tougher nuts to crack, especially when it comes to some of these controversial New Age type metaphysical subjects. So that is an important demographic, and I think between us we can come to some understandings and perhaps open some eyes out there, if that makes sense. What do you think, Tom?
Well, I'll do all I can to help you. Like I said, my health is failing faster than I had anticipated.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sitting in a wheelchair right now.
Well, you know, a lot of the people in this, I think the demographic, without knowing who all your listeners are out there, most of the people who are involved in the ET and the UFO community tend to have open minds and may be less inclined to follow traditional Christian concepts. And we want to cast a wide net, and it's a big tent, you know, like they used to say, and I think that it's important that we embrace as many people as we can, and we try not to lose anybody with some of the language and terminology that we use that sometimes embraces Eastern cultures and this sort of thing. As far as the politics, I know there's a debate going on tonight. Everybody's got Barack Obama and Romney on their mind. One of the things I was hoping that we could cover was the demographics of the various ETs and all of the entities out there and how they all sort of fall into two groups in the universe. You know, we talk about service to self and service to others. And it just so happens that you can pretty much divide the universe down a straight line of the STOs and the STS, which is more pleasant than referring to one side as the the evil side and one side is the good side. We like to say one side is a service to self and one side is a service to others. They all want to work in the same direction, but they've got different methods. So hopefully we can...
It's like President Kennedy said, don't ask what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. Mm-hmm. If everybody kept that in mind, the United States would be a whole lot better than it is today.
That's that service mentality, right?
Yeah, don't mistake me. My country means more to me than my own life. When I took oath to join the Army, it says in there, I, Thomas Morris, swear to uphold the Constitution and protect it from its foreign and domestic enemies. Mm-hmm. And I am prepared to give my life in their defense. That oath meant a great deal to me, then and now.
Mm-hmm.
If war broke out today, I'd wheel myself into the front of the line and be ready to go. There's no country on earth any better than the United States. We have our faults. Everyone does. From a baby to a grown man and from a small country to a large country, we all have our faults and our downfalls. But all in all, this is the better country of all of them. You won't be arrested for saying, I do not like our president. You will not get arrested for that. You have the right to like him or dislike him, agree with his policies or disagree with his policies. In a lot of countries, if you said that, you would be so far down into a prison that you'd never see daylight again. So, Czechoslovakia comes into mind. I mean, this sounds like I'm being nitpicky, but if you sneezed wrong in Czechoslovakia, and you were a Czechoslovakian citizen, you went to jail. If you was a foreign visitor, such as a tourist, and you jaywalked, you may spend 5 years in one of the worst prisons that exists today or then. But you also have to remember that I'm talking 30 years ago. So things has changed over the years.
Let me just tell you, Tom and Steve, that Janet, our co-host, is finally here. So let's at least say hi and let her introduce herself, because she doesn't know my husband is debuting as Thomas Ray Morris tonight. Are you there?
Hi, yes, I am here, and I hope I can stay on. I'm having a little bit of a situation here at the house. It's kind of funny here, but we had to call the police. I had my septic tank emptied, and I had to come in through the side entryway, which the neighbor, who's a Hawaiian crazy person, not that he's Hawaiian, it's crazy. He's just crazy. But he thinks he owns the whole mountain and he's the king. Anyway, he locked in the Valley Isle pump truck and they can't get out. And he says he wants $100 to let him free. So I just had to call the police. But my project manager is down there with the police, seeing if they can get the gate open, because the pumping company is locked in. So, but I may have to leave. Just to let you know. Folks.
There we're facing a lot of poop.
But I saw an article that, from David Icke, crazy is the new normal. And and I go, well this is crazy. Yeah, this is crazy. So we're talking about service to others and service to self, and
it's politics night.
That is the politics of extraterrestrials. And a part of what was very sad to me when we got into your cosmology of the universe, and you said that there's a military ship up there in space and that they're still at war and there's a species that's going to come through the Stargate and it might destroy human life and take all of its – our resources, and, you know, it's like I was hoping on some deep core level that once we got past this Earth base, that, you know, it was much lighter and more fun up there and more loving and kind, and maybe that's another dimension. Maybe the whole third dimension is just kind of screwed up and crazy.
Well, let me let Tom talk about what he knows about
that. Star Trek
was
a misrepresentation that really, once we got out in the stars, that it would be more logical, more kind and loving, not the Borg, not the Klingons, and all these people that want to kill. Isn't there something besides kill?
Well, let me let Tom address that and Steve address that, and we'll let them lead in case you have to come and go.
Unless I get called, and then I may have to suddenly just disappear. So if I disappear, don't take it personally. I'm just putting out fires, and I will return as soon as the universe
you get the poop
gives
handled, huh?
That, ability to do that. But I'm here for now. Let's keep going. Thank you.
Okay. Well, there you go, Steve. I'm Tom, but we're not women just trying to find out some answers at the various levels that we may want to believe or do believe or have been there. I know Steve has one terminology similar to the New Age, and Janet and I probably, that Thomas wasn't raised that way because his father was a Christian preacher. His grandpa was. He's very well known in Kentucky. His grandpa died at 108 years, 9 months, I think, and was a Kentucky colonel. And that is one of my most famous stories I ever wrote. I had no idea how many people knew him. It's absolutely amazing to me. His name was John Crystal Morris, and he came out to our house. We got a little video of him, that's it. But he came to write for the local newspaper because Tom and I did weekly, and he thought that was cool. He was an artist. He made us a new beginning crest for the Morrises. I'll try to have pins made up for it. It's really cool. For the new beginning, I don't think he radiated with the New Atlantis, but the reason I called this new convention for 2013 New Atlantis was to bring in all our new light workers and truth seekers, because they may not relate to the new beginning. They may say, well, I thought we were doing Ascension Age. Well, we were, and we will, and those are places like hospitals and places for old folks and places that we teach metaphysical world, and what Janet's doing is an Ascension Center. So we'll still hold on to that from the Christian base, and I'll let Steve try to work that out for us later on, since he's into alchemy and metallurgy. Because it's like working with silver and gold. You know, make new friends, but keep the old. One is silver and the other gold. But let me let Tom start what he knows from President Reagan's era, how he worked, 80 to 93. And, Tom, would you tell us what Janet was just talking about, how you got into knowing, if you don't want to share certain parts because you're not comfortable with it or it's not in your books, but can you give us what, because you, Janet, this was late breaking news you missed, you weren't on. Tom doesn't feel like he's going to be around by next summer. So he said, if we're going to have a conference, we better do it now. So he didn't give me, he feels like he's going to wind up in a wheelchair. I can have his sister bring over to Pigeon Forge, 5.5 hours away. That's got a big conference center. I've tried to use it before. They were very nice. It's two rooms. We can have one with, you know, the one room and one for the conferences. So Steve has agreed to be the project manager. Tommy is calling it. We'll probably come in the last hour to see what he can get going with the venue dates. I tried to ask him for February because that's what Tom was hoping. And was we don't know about Lorian in Las Vegas. I couldn't get a clear answer from you on that date. So just so you know, be thinking, Janet, if you think
wait,
you can help
us.
Wait,
you're confusing me. So what dates are you looking for in February? Do you have a venue? Do you have a date yet?
That's what Tommy's working on right now. Our Tommy Hawksblood, during this first hour, is working.
Is talking to the venue.
Yes, he's trying to get it because Tom has given us an ultimatum. He doesn't think he'll be around here to make it to the June conference that we were planning on.
All right, so do it in February. February is a great time to come out there. Is it going to be warm?
It's going to be cold. It's February
all right,
in Appalachia.
Stay with a coat. That's all. I don't want to buy one. Just go one at the thrift store.
Yeah, it's ski season. It's probably not a good time for pricing. But that's okay. We'll find that out hopefully by the end of the show. And Tom,
all right.
It's all up to
you
Tom.
You are talking about Las Vegas, which sits in the middle of a desert. So,
now, wait a minute.
You may need a jacket at night, but you don't need one during the day. I've been out there in the military doing military maneuvers in January, February, and March, and it does get cold at night in the desert, but during
all right,
the day
well, I'm getting
it's
all confused.
Pretty warm.
Are we going to do the West Coast first and then the, because we usually do October over here in the fall for Halloween, but okay, so you're, but you didn't think you'd make it to the Halloween Grand Resort Hotel is what I was talking about with Dolly Parton.
But you're going to do something February. October's already over, so you're not going to do it now. So you're talking about your next one being February in Vegas. Is that correct?
No. I was under the impression she told me about someone having a convention in Las Vegas in February.
Yes, there is a...
And that they wanted me to talk at that convention. And
yes.
That's what I was referring to, not one that TJ's putting on.
That's Janet.
That you're talking about. You've got your new Atlantis New Beginnings organization, and you're talking about doing a conference.
I'm doing one. Tommy's checking on for the one over here that Tom.
What month is that one?
We don't know yet because it all depends on when Tom can be there. I'm trying to beat him before he dies.
All right, well, let's just bookmark that for now and stay on topic. So we're talking about
service is about
self-being. So what were you going to tell us, Tom, about what you know about those two different entities?
Well, for one, you said they were at war. They're not. The ones I know, I call them the peaceful ones. And then there's ones that like to do experiments and probes and stuff like that. I've never been associated with them, so therefore I call them the bad guys. Now, there's some real bad guys that has already destroyed a lot of planets, livable planets, and other galaxies. And the reason why the friendly group here, the non-aggressional people are here, is in case, just in the far reaches of in case, these warring people find our little marble in the sky, they'll be here to kind of help defend it. The problem is they need humans to man their ships. They can build the ships. They have been building the fighter ships for several years, let's just say, and they need the human element to man them because we have aggression in us. You slap my face, I'm going to slap you back, all right? They don't have aggression. You slap them in the face and they just turn the other cheek, as the Bible says do. I'm afraid that 90% of the human population does not believe that. If you slap me, I'm going to slap you back, or I'm going to slap you harder. As far as friendly and enemy, like I said, I've met the friendlies. I have never met the left-wing group, and certainly have never met the warring populace. I called them like dwarf-type warriors, and that was only because I know that Star Wars and Stargate and Star Trek and all them have always been a very popular program that people watch, and they can associate themselves. Okay, these guys are like Worf. They're warring type people. Okay, now they imagine that these people are these entities look like Worf, which I guess is fine. Of course, Worf might not like it, but at least it gives you some sort of an idea, a picture in your mind of what you're looking at. I have seen photographs of them. Most of the photographs were not very plain. They were very, they had to be taken on the sly or on the run, and there's very little known about these creatures, because when they come into a galaxy, when they leave, there's nothing there to tell anyone what they look like or how they talked or how tall they were, because they destroy every living thing in that galaxy. If there's minerals or something that's on a particular planet in that galaxy, they'll strip it. It's like, I don't know if you know anything about strip mine coal, but they just dig the dirt off the top of the coal, mine the coal, and then put the dirt back. Problem is, they end up putting the topsoil down deep and the clay and worthless dirt on top where nothing will grow. I've seen that happen so many times when I was a kid here in Kentucky. Well, that's the way they do. They come in and they'll mine the coal and they'll mine the diamonds and they'll take the water and they'll, you know, and they'll leave absolutely nothing behind but a barren planet. Oh. That's all I know about them.
Sounds a little bit like the Anuki. Huh, Janet?
Yes, I suppose. Like I said, I didn't have a name for them, but you also got to remember that I've been out of the game for 20 years. I've not dealt with it or been in the military, or I drove a truck for years, and I just kind of isolated myself. That was one of the deals that I made with the powers to be at the time, that I would not get into politics and that I would keep the lowest profile humanly possible. They say there's only two ways out of the intelligent field, and that's either die or have one hell of an insurance policy. Well, it's obvious that I didn't die, so I have an insurance policy. That policy, I wrote it myself, and it's in various locations to where they don't want me to die, because it would be very hard to explain the evidence of which I could release at any time. And upon my death, it will automatically be released. Mm. Now, people like Ronald Reagan don't have to worry about it because he's dead. But George Bush, the older George Bush, has something to worry about. Dick Cheney has something to worry about. Various other heads of states around the world have things to worry about. And they want to keep me alive because they don't know where my evidence is at. And I plan to keep it that way. But upon my death, there may or may not be a falling out from all the information I have. It depends on if I outlive the people that have this information, and I have some where it will be released on a timely manner, such as a time capsule. I won't say what country it's in. I will say that it's not in the United States. But when they open that time capsule, and I think it's supposed to be 2185, which is 200 years from when it was put down, things will come out, but then it'll just be part of history.
That's 1985 to 2185, so it wasn't to be opened. So we know, everybody will know the truth of those particular people on this planet, and how human lives did act politically incorrect. I don't know what it'll be called then. We're changing things every minute, much less into the future. But there you go, folks. That's the hot news now. There's other things coming up available, and I still think Cheney, Thatcher, and Bush may want to keep a low profile for a while till we see if they can outlive Thomas Ray Morris. So,
I'd like to respond to something Tom said, if it's okay.
Yeah.
The point he made about the aggression was I find that kind of interesting because, you know, as we try not to be tools, and a lot of what he's talking about is that yang energy. I know we talk about the divine feminine and what have you, but it's that yang energy that where we find that violence and that desire to that we'll pull that out of our dark side, so to speak. So it's interesting that it would still be of use where, you know, you think why would the Pleiadians need help from human light workers and what have you? Well, maybe that's exactly what he said. It's because we still have some leftover energy of that yang energy and that aggressive tendencies that make us useful.
You have to remember that a person with aggression that will slap you back if you slap them, they have a great sense of survival. All right, so when bullets start flying, that instinct in you, I know from experience, will make you dodge left when you need to, dodge right when you need to, drop to the ground when you need to. Your instincts will take over and you will automatically do it without thinking, without contemplating it, figuring out which way you should go and all that. It's just automatic in your mind and you automatically do it. When you lose the sense of aggression, as these people have, you also lose the sense of survival. You will sway right when you should have went left. You will stand up when you should have laid down. It's just because you don't have that sense anymore. It's just like everyone says everybody has six senses. You know, eyes, smell, hearing, taste. They're wrong. They're not totally wrong, naturally, but there's a seventh one, and that is the sense of survival. The human race has one of the strongest sense of survival that has ever been recorded, according to the 27 species on the command ship that I visited. We were born with it, with the cavemen, and we've never done away with it. We've nurtured it, if nothing else. I was born into a very poor family. And what we did to survive made us strong enough to survive everything that's come at us so far. My mother used to say, "What don't kill you makes you stronger." Bless her heart. She's gone on now, and so is my father.
Would you like to mention their names for the record, where they were born, their names?
That's why I can freely talk about some of the things that happened when I was growing up, because now there's no way there can be any repercussions to my family. My sister, one of my sisters, says that if it was today's times and my father and mother did us that the way they did us when we were kids, they would be in prison because it was, in her mind, child abuse. Me, it was just a mode of survival that my dad was in and couldn't get above that. My dad traveled a lot. He would be in one area for 3 months and decide to take off to Texas and live in Texas for 6 months and come back to Illinois. it was just his way of life. It was the way he perceived life. He'd work long enough to get a little bit of money in his pocket, fill up his car, and we were gone. He didn't think about, well, the kids need to stay in school. Well, you know, the kids need a stable place to stay. They don't want to leave their friends. Us kids learn not to make friends, just to exist, be friendly with everyone. But, you know, you wasn't my bosom buddy and you didn't come over to my house because I didn't know if tomorrow night I was going to climb in a car and be gone. And I'm afraid it's carried over to my adulthood. I've never been friendly with anyone. I've never had a friend to come over and just sit around and drink coffee and shoot the breeze. If you're not relatives, you don't come to my house. I don't tell them not to, but they seem to know that it's just not a place they want to be.
It's a nice house. It's furnished nicely. We'll have, give you coffee and tea. But that's not the point he's making, right?
Right. The point is you are how you was brought up. I don't care who you are. If you was brought up in a nice home, then you're going to have a nice home when you get older. If you was brought up in a shack, and you get a trailer, a single-wide trailer that's clean and don't leak, you're living in a mansion because you're used to living in the shack that you have to lay sideways on the bed so you don't get wet when it's raining. When I was a kid, I had to get up in the mornings and sweep up the snow off of the covers and off of the beds and off the floors and carry it out in a number two wash tub and then build the fire. Now, you know, just living in one of them prefab wooden buildings that the Amish build would be a deluxe room compared to what I lived in then. So, you know, they say each generation improves itself. Well, if I look back on my life, I think I have improved my life 100% from what it was when I was 8 years old and carrying out snow out of the house. And that was a lot of politics, believe it or not. Kentucky was a very poor state, got very little government help. It was very few jobs back then in Kentucky. If you didn't work at a sawmill or a coal mine, you didn't work. That's just the way it was. I know I'm talking way too much.
No, I want to get your story down because this is you are the commander of Gus. The two people on here have not been on a 3D ship. Okay?
I was
so
in the military.
They want to know why you.
I was in the military from Jimmy Carter through George Bush Senior.
I use presidents to keep track of time, too.
Time? Hold on. He's talking away. He fell off. I've got to give him another phone. Tom, stand by. You fell off. I've got three phones here. Let me give him one. Hold on. Stand by. Stand by, folks.
Oh, my dear.
Yes, dear. Here. I've got three more back you up. Here you go. Choose anyone. Here you go. I didn't bring you the fancy ones. Yeah. There's a space Star Trek-y one, and here's exactly one like you. Okay. Do you know the phone number to call? Okay, folks, stand by. This is important. We don't know from one day to the next if he'll even be here, and he was the official commander of what we call the Roswell UFO Gus. This is breaking news. I didn't think I would ever get him to be in the third-dimensional level of being aware and awake enough to share. However, due to the history of who he is and how he came to be with President Reagan, it has not been Janet or me. It has been Steve Kelly that had
right.
the knowledge to talk about that's weapons. Great. And he accepted him. So when he gets back on, I'm just letting you know, I'm very thankful. So Janet just dropped off. So
I'm still here.
Okay. I guess, folks, I just needed to let people know that it's a man thing, I guess. But maybe the weapons we'll discuss. And that way Steve can take over where Tom's story will leave off on planet Earth for all of us that hang on to every thread of knowing that we are in contact with aliens from other planets, and it is people like us that need to know biologically and at the third density why is some chosen and others not to have direct contact, me being one of those. I still don't have all the answers. I know I can tell my story later. I don't plan on checking out. My husband doesn't have a death watch, although he was so ill. They did put him on suicide watch with the VA in what we call for veterans, the VA, which is the Veterans Administration, actually. And he is under their care. He is in a wheelchair. He goes to dialysis 3 times a week. And this is the man that, by extraterrestrial standards, that we know this is or could be the real full disclosure in 2012. Here he comes back. Tom, are you there?
Yes, I called back to apologize. My phone went dead. I will say one thing, and then I will probably get off. I was told by the friendlies that while I was in the hospital, within the 3 days I was born, within 3 days after I was born, that these aliens came into the hospital in Lafayette, Indiana, and added some genes to mine. It didn't change the fact that I was human. It just gave me extra abilities, such as hearing, sight, speed. I'm not quite like the metrics where the guy dodges all the bullets, but over the years I've been shot at them many a time, and luckily I've only been shot once and stabbed once. Both of them, one of them was in combat, and the other one was busting up a bar fight in West Germany. The gunshot wound was so minute that it barely bled, and I carry no scar from it. The knife, however, was buried to the hilt in my side, and I believe that it punctured my pancreas, and that's why I have diabetes today. And the diabetes is what killed my kidneys, and got heart trouble, and I can't hardly breathe. And that's I'm in complaint mode right now. I need to get out of it. And there's something that you need to discuss on the radio. I think I've talked too long. I've talked over 45 minutes. So I think it's time for someone else to take the mic, so to speak.
Well, just say on Janet fell off. She had to go tend to her problems. But I'd like Steve to sort of, if you don't mind, I know you passed me the torch for the New Atlantis, New Beginning with the extraterrestrials and what we'll create from the old Ascension Age, the New Age Beginning. But let Steve, Steve, could you sort of talk to him?
I need to get off. I can't breathe.
Good night, Tom. It was great talking to you again. We'll talk to you again soon, huh?
Yeah, it was nice talking. I'm glad y'all listened. I'm sorry that I took up your time, or dominated the time anyway.
No, they needed to hear that. Everyone in the world, sweetie, you're the only one that can give full disclosure as the commander of Gus. I don't think we went into that, did we?
No, and I'm afraid that after dialysis and everything, I'm just too weak to continue. So I'm going to say goodnight because I can't hardly breathe.
Okay, well, tonight, all right, I love you. Thank you for helping us.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you. Oh, well,
I can say something real quick here, Teresa.
Please.
All you Reiki masters out there, let's send Tom some energy. Whether he likes it or not, let's send him some good energy. Replenish his cells. Let's see if we can zero in on that his issues, his diabetes and his dialysis, kidney issues. And I think if we all put some energy into it, we can keep him around for a heck of a lot longer. Sound like a plan?
Sounds like a one for me. Even his breath and he's Thomas R. Morris, I believe, on Facebook. If you need to get a face for him, if that helps you with Facebook.
I like having a face when I'm trying to do distance work, but
okay.
Talk on the phone, so
why don't you
like
talk us through that, and I'll see if I can pull it up and make sure how it's listed. Go ahead, give us some clues, people that aren't even that. How they can help their, people, because you work with people in the old folk homes and do Reiki and massages. Give us some ideas.
Well, Reiki, of course, was developed in Japan by a Buddhist, but it's no different than what the Hindus do with the pranic healing, or the Christians do the same type of thing with your prayers. So it's very similar, just sending him your prayers and your prayer energy. It's essentially the same thing, but what we want to do is we want to visualize healthy organs and vibrant, energetic body and send that energy. And, of course, scalar waves. We're using our scalar waves from our brain, our human scalar energy, and that's instantaneous. So it's going to travel as far, far away as you can imagine, instantaneous. In Reiki, we use certain symbols, Reiki symbols, Shaku Rei, the Han Shaze Shonen. Those are the two primary symbols. One is a power symbol, and one is for the distance. And we usually do three. We make one symbol three times, and we do the other. But before you do this, you usually fold your hands and say a little prayer, and you ask for the power to help that person. And anybody can do that. So I think if all of our listeners, especially everyone that's heard Tom's voice tonight, you've got a little... You've heard his frequency, you've heard his voice, so you can zero in on that specific frequency, his human form, wherever you are in the world. So just think about him and think some kind thoughts and ask that he be allowed to stay with us for the duration, for much longer, and help us do what we need to do and continue to do the job here on Earth as long as is necessary. All right, we can all do that real quick. That would be a wonderful, wonderful gift to him.
Well, that's a big help, and I know that he would appreciate it, but he doesn't understand that, being that he grew up strictly Christian. I found a picture. He's with me, Thomas Morris, but it was when he was a little younger, but he looks the same. It's just his beard is not black anymore. It says I'm friends. That's nice. But it's just plain Thomas Space Morris. He's on my TJ Morris page. I know my friends probably know him or know of him. They don't know that he is the actual Tom Bradley in his books, or Thomas Harris. I don't know what names in his books. But apparently he doesn't want people to know that. So as we all talk about our fiction characters, since he's not passed over yet, he doesn't want full disclosure. So... it's a little hard to talk from first person. And so those of us that are science fiction writers are still alive on planet Earth, whether we're still connected to our government through contracts or they still hold our past in the computer, I don't think it really matters anymore, folks. And I'd like to get on with the rest of the show as Disclosure ACO Politics, the New Beginning and the New Atlantis for the next hour. I am featuring tonight Staff Sergeant Morris as the title after tonight's disclosure, ACO Politics, New Atlantis, New Beginning. And I'm going to ask Stephen D. Kelly, who is new into my world in the last 48 hours. He has agreed to help with his limited resources. However, between the two of us and maybe what we can generate with our calling out all light workers and truth seekers, create a new beginning. And we're going to call that New Atlantis for now, just because everyone that's in the paranormal spiritual world can sort of relate to that. Now, technically speaking, I have asked Janet Kira Lesson to assist me because we may be having Stargate to the Cosmos future with her, and we're all coming together. It doesn't matter what we call the conferences. You know, we're all willing to bend our wills to the associate groups because we are a co-op. Now, I've officially hadn't even had a chance to talk to Janet about that very much because she's been over. Yeah, I see you're back. You're on, Janet. But we're now going into the new future of disclosure for ACO Politics and the New Atlantis and the New Beginning. Now, we may be joining others, such as in Alchemy Events, Super Soldier, our various future disclosure projects, ExoPolitics, whatever. But this is the Politic Night, and I believe that maybe Alfred Wembley, somebody from Canada called in. I don't know if it was Alfred Lloyd Rebel. It was probably Alfred. So, Janet, if you can get him on the line and see if he wants to come back on. It was a 519 area code. I don't know if you have his number, but you may want to clue him in because he is going to be a speaker with you two guys at the Alchemy event. So do you have his number, or do I need to give it to you? But anyway, I'll see if I can locate it. So, Steve, regarding you're going to be the project manager at least for the 2013, and we'll probably work with several associates to get these conferences. We don't know, folks. We're working with David Saeed Farman. Janet Lesson is an organizer. I am. Saeed is that, I think, Steve, you call him David, don't you?
Yeah, I like to call him David, yeah.
It's an easier English name. I think he's adopted, and we can still work together. Is that you calling Janet? Hello? Are you there, Steve?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
That was odd. Janet went off.
Hmm.
He dropped off, and I heard a number. So she must have been calling him, but she didn't know how to do a three-way. She knows how to do a three-way, but she was trying to connect the three-way. So she must have heard me, but I couldn't hear her talk.
Teresa,
so,
before we get off tonight, I kind of want to address a couple of things that Tom was talking about, especially with regard to the really bad guys.
Okay. Whatever you're feeling.
The subjects like that are the sort of things that really get some people worried and concerned, and it almost seems like a hopeless thing. And yeah, that is certainly an issue, but it's true. We do have the Palladians and the White Hats out there keeping an eye on us. And one of the things that the Templars were telling me is that they were constantly making adjustments to our time, our dimension, whatever it is, moving, you know, our place in the sync, our sync with the where we are in time, to stay away from that, to avoid these guys getting closer and closer. So I don't think that's an issue, but from a transition perspective, we talk about 2012. We talk about going through the photon belt and having a massive evolution and the separation of the service to self entities from the service to others entities. So a lot of the more negative scenarios that you could imagine will probably befall the group that is the service to self group, almost like a hell on earth thing. So we're talking about separate realities, and this is one of the most important message that the entire community needs to know is that we need to choose service to others. We need to try to endeavor to be at least 51% service to others, and we need to. That's the number one rule about being on the right side of the class when it's time to graduate, because you only get one chance. And when you go into the fourth density, if you're on the wrong side, you're stuck there. And you're going to stay there until everything finally goes back to source, you know, the reverse of the Big Bang. So that's very important. I want to, that's when you get down to the politics of what this is all about, that's the number one rule.
All right, so we don't say, how can I make it anymore? We say, how can we make it? And we try to get along with others that are next-door neighbors. And these little towns and everything, I was listening last night somehow to the difference in what we're doing with broadband between rural and urban. And they realized the big, vast divide of how many people. What they use in the United States is how many people in density. And I thought that was ironic that they used the word density like we were using the night before, third density, fourth density. And we knew that when we reached this, or the extraterrestrials I work with, the 7 billion was the tilting. It's on a device I can't explain to you on an extraterrestrial level, but it's like being on a ship and you're seeing the large screens, and there's a lot of people that I haven't discussed with you to build a foundation, so I'm jumping all over the board, which vertical thinkers do that. And that's something you're going to learn, is there's so much knowledge coming in from all over the place, and we are recording so much knowledge from all over the place, that we are learning we're more digital than analog, is one way to say it. I don't know. How would you say it, Steve? Why don't you help me here?
That is an interesting way of putting it, but I think what you're trying to say is that part of this advancement process is becoming culturally aware. And like we were saying the other night, it's like the difference between going from being a cow to being a human. Right now,
yeah.
We're like, you know, we have really intelligent animals, but they're not doing
quantum. Well, yeah, I love cows. I've taught cows things. Yeah, they're very close to human. It's very hard to eat a cow.
So the amount of information that we have to absorb in this process is exponential, the way that it's increasing. And that's, you know, that's like they say at Area 51, they've got so many projects to pursue. They've only got so many people and so many dollars and so many man hours to pursue what there is. And there's, you know, the knowledge, it's like a rocket ship. The human experience, we're learning so fast now, it's in a line going straight up. And that's the thing about going into the fourth density, too. It's kind of like when you die, all of a sudden you know everything. You get access to the Akashic records, and it takes you like 3 days from a cosmic perspective just to get used to all that information. That's kind of like the biblical thing where Christ rose in 3 days, and apparently there's something to that. So,
how would you see the Christ story for all those people that are having trouble with epistemology and taxonomy and ontology and theosophy and philosophy and their religious beliefs into going into vertical thinking? Because they all want to believe that they're all religious and stuff, but Tom will tell you that he's known many people, including some preachers and some women, and you know, that go to church there on Sunday, but even some church people that here where I live that are very Southern, very programmed in their way of thinking, whether they're Catholic, Baptist, mostly Baptist here, because Baptist founded this Ohio County, but they say that some people hold a Bible in one hand and a knife to stab you in the back with the other.
Now,
that could be human nature.
When it comes to religion, and this applies also to just about any philosophy or different type of philosophy,
yeah.
I like to think of if the blind men with the elephant story. You know, you've got, right, you've got an elephant, you've got these guys surrounding the elephant, one guy's feeling the leg, says it feels like an elephant's like a tree trunk, the other guy feels the side, says elephant's like a wall, the guy feels the tail, says no, elephant's like a thin reed, another guy feels the trunk and says it's like a snake. Well, they're all giving different descriptions, but they're all describing the same thing. So, like we said last night, every little bit of information has a certain amount of truth and a certain amount of fallacy, and you just got to take it all in. You've got to absorb it all. So with respect to Christ, though, being, you know, I still consider myself a Christian, and I love Christ, but I, at the same time, I understand that Christ is the conduit. When we pray,
That's his job. Of all the ascended masters, it's his job to essentially relay our desires and the things we want to manifest higher on up to Source. So I don't have a problem mingling Christ with New Age metaphysical thought, and that's all part of that trying to have an open mind. And I think
now, is that why so many people that are in the they're writers with me on UFO Digest into the occult always think Christians are bad people with the New Age and the Ascension Age people are bad because they're Ascension and believe in the Ascended Masters, because Aurora Light was on and her partner and they believed in the rapture. So even within the New Age community and the Ascension Age community, we have the Ascension Masters and the Christians and the Ascension Masters and the Reiki teachers. It's all lumped in together because, you know, like you said, Reiki was started by Buddhists, but those in the metaphysical, paranormal, spirituality world use a lot of Reiki too. So how do you, what are we supposed to call all this?
Well, the thing is what people need to understand about the real nature of this fourth density versus the third density is that reality, what we perceive to be reality on a third density can be manipulated by our thoughts, much the same way that we bend our reality through manifestation and mass perceived reality from people as a whole. So what's going to happen is, as I like to call it, it's going to be make your own reality day. So if you've got it set in your mind that you're going to manifest a world of evil and destruction, that's what you're going to wake up to. If you expect to be raptured, that's what's going to happen. If you're a Jehovah's Witness and you expect that the animals are going to talk, everyone's going to be friendly, this is exactly what's going to happen. So it's very similar to what the Mormons believe when they think, yeah, they're going to go off and become their own gods and what have you. In a way, that's kind of the way it works, because you will be the master of your reality.
Right. They believe in extraterrestrials. And see, that's the thing about, we don't know, because the religious right, we don't necessarily agree with them, but we don't necessarily agree in killing babies and abortions either. So we're sort of stuck in the middle as independent voters and thinkers. You know, we're sort of in the open mind, make your own choices, but right now we feel like we don't have a choice, because if one's extreme left abortion and one's extreme right way religious, but anyway, you got any answers to that one? Because these are issues coming
out
in 2 weeks.
If you look at the institutions, let me just say this. For instance, the Catholic Church, everybody's down on the Catholic Church for the historical things that they've done and what have you.
But
you
Peter was supposed to have started that church, but I don't know that because they were all killed terrible deaths, right?
Right, just about anything is going to be infiltrated. You know, anytime you have a group with representing one side of an issue or another or something or a similar cause, it's going to be infiltrated. So this has happened with
the
Catholic Church.
That's the bipolar thing. They try to keep us all a Prozac nation, manic depressive, bipolar, blame everybody, you know, listen to all doctors. You know, Dr. Drew is very popular right now, and I like him, and I know he's doing to do, but, you know, we still, even Oprah Winfrey, you know, had her own doctor people on, so we're still about fixing the bipolar situation. And what you and I are going to try to help is how to not have to fall into the black-white bipolar.
Right, we want to try to teach people to get out of that whole dual polarity thing, that divide and conquer.
So it's not really a positive timeline or negative timeline, because that's still duality. Even though we have synchronicity and duality and serendipity, there's a dichotomy, and we're trying to organize religion, nature, and government at the very lowest level of intel, right?
Right, right. And the other thing that we need to do that's really important is we need to spread out the fear. We need to present all the different possibilities of what's going to happen and what give some people something to expect, so when things start going crazy that they will be able to comprehend and think back and say, okay, I've prepared for this. I can comprehend this. This is not too bad. And they'll be able to be productive and help others and be strong and not be taken advantage of.
Well, let's go into, we got 50 minutes left. That's almost a complete hour. And I don't know. I sometimes have to change the where we're at in the blog world because TJ Morris World is just being created as we speak, and a lot of people know me under various names and hats, so I have not even put all my connections together in one place because so many people with various groups were pulling at me left and right for my people and my votes for this political year. And I was going to stay totally off of the politics list, Steve. I was either always going to be spiritual or paranormal if I was going to do this blog talk because I was trying to, June 3rd, help Janet with the Stargate to the Cosmos. That's how I created this radio show, was actually to promote conferences, basically hers, and then to go on forward. And then when I had the Ascension Age and writing about that and all that I believed. But I was trying to put it all together, and it was fine until Tommy brought on one lady that has a PhD and a degree out of New York and metaphysics, and she's made a good living, but now she's filed bankruptcy and having problems and all this stuff, because if anybody gets pretty good at doing one thing, they get shut down. So everybody wants a piece, and now we got this alchemy event coming on, and David with his political connections, but yet he's expecting only 1 to 200, and he was hoping maybe in the next month to boost it up to 500, but giving his friends, you know, a 20% discount each because you can go through EventBee, and he knows how to put it in somehow where each one of us, including you, Steve, and Janet or me or whomever, if they will help him build it. And it's a pretty good idea because we have new tools that weren't available, you know, before. So now we can recreate to get the venues and help promote areas. But we have a new politics here. And basically right now, folks, Steve and I are pretty much in charge of our friends' groups in order to get the new conferences if people want to associate with us. So we have, Tommy has told me he's willing to play. He's the only one. Janet, I don't know. Cindy, I don't know yet. But you've committed. So I'm pretty much glad that you accepted last night as project manager. So we're just, you know, it's sort of like the, like you said, the, we go up and touch the elephant. I don't know how you want to get to the other side past 12:21. If we want to do 3 days of darkness or what. You want to address the vibrations, because Tommy wanted us to talk or mention tonight. He was trying to get this conference going for us as soon as possible because Tom told us that he's having a really, really bad time staying in his body. So one of us is trying to find us a venue that we can do it as soon as possible. But we know Tom said he's looking forward to February, I guess, in Las Vegas. Because that's where we were supposed to have one, according to Janet. If we weren't doing the Stargate to the Cosmos, she told us and told me to tell Tom, and she was going to get us with Lori and Fenton so we could get Tom's story out there and let him be a speaker. So, that folks, that's what he was talking about earlier, was Lori and Fenton of the UFO Contact 2012, which you know she's been on the show. I've done her commercials, and She's the one that says, what are those lights in the sky? And, you know, who are those? You know what I'm saying. That's her little commercial
thing. Yeah, why do they abduct us? Yeah,
that's it. Okay, so you've heard that, and you actually listened. Very good. So now she, tonight, Janet told me there's a development where Janet and her will not be doing a Stargate to the Cosmos. They will be doing... Lorian has decided to team up with Alfred Lloyd Webbermont, which I think was trying to get on the show tonight to announce whatever they're going to do. So we'll try to get – Alfred's been on the show already, Alfred Lloyd Webbermont. He's a very nice man to me anyway. He is somewhat of a politician. He's a judge, war crimes, something like that. I forgot his background. You can go back and listen to it. But he seems like a very nice man, and he covers some areas that seem very left-field to me because he seems to represent Andrew Basiago's story of the teleport and Mars and all of that. So we'll have to have another show when he wants to come back and address that. But Tom, my husband, won't be into any of that. I'll tell you that right now. And I had some really bad feelings about Alfred Lloyd Webbermont and Andrew Basiago myself from a human form. Now, I separate, as a vertical thinker, separate my densities, my levels, my dimensions, and my universes. Now, I grant you, this is probably not even the way people think, and I'm okay with that. But because I was an investigator and trained to be on Earth and had extraterrestrial intervention or whatever you want to say from the time I was a child and seen them, I've been programmed from the time I was born to work with both worlds. So I'm okay with that. And I thought, you know, when I did the Montauk and all that, that I was a translator because that's what NASA sent me as, because I dealt with the people that hadn't even made MUFON yet. So I'm a very old soul, but I'm also a very old person here that traveled with the energy of the Mutual UFO Network back to before it was NASA. And Stanton Friedman can pretty much keep up with me because he was running the same timeline, and he was sent to meet me in Louisiana because I was in Louisiana and Houston back when I was a kid. But anyway, that's another story. I think he came up with the same people where I was at 76, but he may not know I was a kid. But anyway, we've got a caller calling in. Let me see. I don't recognize the number. It may be Cindy. I'm not sure. Let me see. Whoops, they fell off. So whoever it was must have gotten on the phone call. But it may be Cindy. Did you recognize, is that an 804 number for you? Do you recognize it, Steve?
No, not me.
All right. Well, why don't we go on and you and I are going to have to get our act together here for politics for 2013.
You know what, I want to take advantage of this opportunity to say something that I really wish I brought up last night. And this is,
okay,
you know, because we're talking about politics.
Okay.
Is that all right?
Sure.
Okay. Here in California, we have a ballot initiative called Proposition 37. Have you heard about that?
No. Is that for gay rights?
Or not? Well, Proposition 37, and this is really, really important because ultimately it's going to affect everybody in the United States and eventually everybody in the world. But what we're trying to do with this proposition is to force all of the food manufacturers to label, to put a line of print on their products that says whether or not the food contains genetically modified organisms.
Oh, yay.
Yeah,
so Monsanto
very, very
will be... If somebody's being poisoned and getting cancer, we can trace it back.
Right.
Ah, mandatory labeling.
And what have you. Now, if you don't know what genetically modified organisms are, companies like Monsanto and DuPont and Dow, they basically take the DNA of corn and soybeans and what have you, and they manipulate it. They do all sorts of nasty things. They change the DNA to have, like, an internal insecticides and what have you. But needless to say, it's poison, it's designed to kill you, and it's nasty, nasty stuff. And the companies that are the worst offenders are putting millions and millions of dollars to try to defeat this initiative. And they've spent something like, I don't know, $25, $30 million so far. And it looked like the thing was overwhelmingly going to go through, but now because of all this money being dumped into trying to defeat it on television campaigns and what have you, it's starting to show, it's getting a little iffy. So anybody out there in California, please vote for Proposition 37. And anybody that's not in California in the world, you see something on the Internet.
We could do that state to state since you've announced it. How do we get this to each state? Do we take it to
most states? Will follow California. California has a way of being the first with these things. And the industry is afraid because they know that if we pass this law in California, the rest of the country is going to follow suit. Because
Who's funding it? Who's behind it?
The people that are against the GMO foods, of course, that's like a grassroots coalition. It's,
of the farmers? But wouldn't the farmers want it? I'm for the farmers. I'm for John Q. Public.
Well, it's John Q. Public is the ones that would like to have this done. I mean, I'll give you an example. The French government just got through completing a study on GMO corn. It was a very exhaustive study. I think it went on for like 7 years or something like this. But they came out and conclusively and said that genetically modified corn produced huge tumors in the lab rats that they forced these things to. So bottom line, it's going to give you cancer. It's going to do all kinds of nasty things. It's poison. So why are they putting it in our foods? What is wrong with labeling the food container? And says if there's nothing wrong with it, why are they against labeling it? Because they know nobody will buy it. So So this is really important. It's going to affect the health of the ultimately the whole world, because this Monsanto is a monstrous evil entity that's trying to force us to eat these modified foods. And it's not only that; it has to do with the control of the food supply, because once they put a patent out on a genetic version or variant or some hybrid of a agricultural product, and these countries start growing all of these, planting all of these hybrid products, they own that. You've got to buy seeds. Like your corn crop does not produce seeds. You've got to buy seeds every darn season.
Isn't there a lady in India that I'm picking up, but I don't know who she is, in the ephemeris, what do you call it, the web? What do you call the web, like Akashic field for psychic readers, but the theory of everything for scientists? What do you call the internet? It's not the internet, cyberspace. You know,
cyberspace. Okay.
Okay, but when you close your eyes and you've got the screen of the mind, you don't have to be on an extraterrestrial ship to see the space. But if you have to go that far, that's fine too. If you don't know what I'm talking about, folks, you know, readers, we read the energy, and we do go various levels, like we travel astrally, near body, out of body, and all that. And that's one thing that I understand the new politics are scared of, and those in disclosure politics and exopolitics. They sort of know about us, and they're trying to get people that can do psychic readings, remote viewing, I don't know, the psychology therapists, people like you to go back to your out-of-body or near-death experiences, or they'll take you back in hypnosis. But all those people pretty much can go to that place and where you close your eyes and you go to this place, and what do you see? And then they can take you back in time and energy. And anyway, there's a place, whatever you call it, the screen of the mind, your happy place, your safe place that you use in your yoga. You know, some of them just do the Om or the I Am, the New York, what is it, Harvard, I don't know. But anyway, the S, you know, all the things you learn from Wayne Dyer, S, Deepak Chopra, all those things. There's a place you go. And a lot of people connect there. And then that's where they call this place, and everybody calls it something different. What do you call it, Steve?
Superconscious.
You're superconscious in what you see there?
Well,
you're still in body?
When you when you're connecting to everybody else, you connect through the superconscious. You go into your subconscious essentially through when you're meditating, what have you, and then through your subconscious you connect to the superconscious, which everyone else is connected to. So yeah, that's how all of this works, your ESP and your tarot and pendulums and all that thing. You access this. It's like accessing the Akashic records, essentially.
Right.
That's what you're describing.
Everybody's using their superconscious or just a few, but you're saying California people, for this election 2012, Proposition 37 funding, it's sort of like using your, like they called the Buddhist in Japan or whatever started the Reiki originally, and various people, because the reason I don't like to tell people who my Reiki master was, because basically it was me, my universal higher consciousness, although I met a lot of them. There were famous Reiki masters that wanted me to pay them lots of hundreds and thousands of dollars. I chose not to because I was already extraterrestrial connected. And now, dream chasing is good, and the old paradigm of paying out all these thousands of dollars is good for people that were getting the money, but what about those that weren't? And is that really about service to self or service to others? So now what we're working on is with these conferences that we're going to be putting forth is bringing in everybody as a co-creator. And each person will get themselves to the conference, and then they'll work it out. But each person will use that one of these things they've created where they only get a dollar for servicing us, such as that B or whatever we're using for David's group, the one you're going to be a part of, Steve. You know what I'm talking about, Event B?
Yes, y'all can do that.
And we need to decide. There's two or three we can use, and I'm considering signed up. I've already been signed up for Eventbrite and then Event B, but there's others that are always wanting our business. But the thing is, as a committee of organizers, we will be deciding in the future of anybody that's created or worked with me or expos, like worked with me at the Eco Expo in California, or the Whole Life Expo in San Francisco, or Oregon, or Dallas. You guys know who I am, New York. Many of you have worked with me through the years. You know, all these Atlanta. You knew I had a big showroom in California and L.A. and one in Atlanta. And worked with people in Canada and, you know, all over Europe, Spain, Portugal. You guys all know who I am. So if we can get this going, we're going to try to start a little conference over here. And it is politically thinking and connected. So I think where Steve's led us here on this journey tonight, because every day is a new world, and we're all working, and we want you to go to your superconsciousness and help us heal the planet. We're all about Michael Jackson's We Are the World, Heal the World. And he knew a lot of things. But it's sort of funny. We don't usually get down into the details, but for when politics comes up, it grounds you very deep into what you believe in and who you really are and what you stand for, because you have one vote. And the people around the world that are holding up these signs saying, wake up, America, your vote counts, or we'll vote, you know, they want to see us do good, because they instinctively know as America goes, so goes the world. And I've just briefly mentioned that the last couple of nights to Steve, and discussing this new age, new beginning, whole world, future cosmology communication, and getting the world all connected so they can all participate in the global trade. Now, people that are running this world understand that there's no possible way for all those out there that have to eat, or they call them the useless eaters or the dumbed down, cannot possibly resort to the natural resources in the future. And the organic consumer funds that we have and the natural health resources, they're out in the rural areas. Their countries are not hooked to the broadband, to communication and education. So we're working on what's called awakening awareness. And I think Steve's bringing that up. And we have all these great foods of America, okay? And we have various groups, Mercola.com, health resources, organic consumer food. We want to work with these people. And this woman in India is what brought this up, Steve. She somehow went up against, I don't know who she is, folks. I have no clue who I'm talking about. But it's a woman. And she took on these groups and helped people. I think she has a PhD in something. I think she's Indian, and I know that she took on Monsanto. Do you not know who she is, Steve? Or against these?
No, but I do. I do seem to recall the story, because India has certainly been one of the countries that has been really upset with Monsanto. In fact, the rest of the world, with the exception of maybe Britain and the United States, are really getting upset with this nonsense that these guys are trying to pull with these genetically modified foods.
Well, who is opposing this proposition? Because the opposition is it comes down to dollars, folks.
Well, if you look at who is really against this,
yeah.
It's interesting.
Monsanto,
Monsanto, Dow, DuPont, Synergis, something like this. It's all the manufacturers of the genetically modified foods, as seed companies, as well as the pesticide producers. And some companies, which is like, for instance, Coca-Cola and Pepsi, have both donated a lot of money to this, to defeat this proposition. So right away,
because they fall under synthetics, right? They put synthetics.
Any company that is trying to defeat this, that's a big red flag that you don't want to use their products. Nestle is another one of these companies. Now, what the heck is it? So,
oh wow! Well, I'm going to have to get off of investing in these
chocolate
companies.
Chocolate milk. You know, geez, what am I going to do?
Yeah, well, your vote counts for every dollar, folks. So. We're going back into this thing, though, Steve. We don't want to see. We've got to be careful, because how are we going to go forth in what we're creating if we're not going to be political, but we have a politics night to discuss what's best for us as humans, and yet these big companies are going to try to kill us with cancer and keep the drug companies going, you know, and they don't want to tell people that they're putting all these sinful synthetics in our body. You know, they're
Let's put it in a metaphysical context, okay? The biggest thing that we want to do as growing spirits and as ascending souls is we need to free our pineal gland. We need to decalcify our pineal gland.
You can't tell these people that.
You look at the stuff in our foods, you know, the fluoride in the water, the aluminum in the chemtrails, the chlorine in the water, all these things, the poisons in the food, genetically modified foods, what have you, it's all designed to stop psychic growth. That's what it's all about.
Why do they not want us to grow psychically? We're all about awakened awareness, at least those
exactly
that are
right.
Masters
because
and avatars.
As
that's
we
why we're here.
We're not going to put up with the nonsense. And you see, that's the
so
thing.
They're going to keep us in the box to buy their
They're doing
product.
Everything they can to keep us in the dark. And that's what's
so
happening.
So they want to kill us to keep – they want to keep – now, see, I'm all for the way that we are mentally is – I want us to keep our weapons around the world because I believe that we need them because this is a 50-year slow process while we're getting everybody up to par on communication. We've also got to watch our food because the food, people will get greedy and they will pull their guns out and start shooting people.
Well, we don't need to do this. I want to address that real quick. This is important, okay? You talk about weapons, guns, and this caveman technology, throwing little pieces of lead back and forth with burning organic powder and what have you. When you get down to it, the human brain is incredibly powerful. Okay, they measure, I think it's not electromagnetic field, I forget the exact term, but they measure it in units of Tesla. They call it Tesla, which is magnetic conductive energy or something of this nature. The human brain puts out something like, I believe it's 400 Tesla units. Okay, that's a huge amount of energy. The largest amount of this energy ever recorded was a Soviet hydrogen bomb explosion that produced something like 80,000 Tesla. Okay, that was the greatest amount of this energy ever produced on Earth using an atomic weapon. Well, hell, what does that tell you? It only takes so many humans to get together to produce the same amount of energy as an atomic bomb. So now the Earth produces these huge magnetic waves that we know as the Van Allen belt and what have you, and that protect us from the solar radiation and this kind of thing. And all of the humans on the Earth would probably, if we all got together and we expanded our consciousness and we all woke up, we could probably duplicate the same amount of energy. So in other words, we have the power to protect ourselves. We have the power to ward off solar flares. We have the power to ward off any other entity that would come here and do us harm. If we all woke up, we all learned to use our skills. So this is one of the reasons why they don't want to do that. In fact, if you look at it, psychic skills.
So we can connect to the mind, body, spirit and still be open politics, but spread our individual support as a team in a co-op, right? If we start, a lot of the organic food tastes yucky. Okay, go ahead.
the thing I guess I was trying to say was that, oh gosh, I got off on a little tangent.
Well, you're supporting the don't crystallize your pineal gland before you die person.
I want to see people look at their health and look at their food intake and look at their water intake and look at all these things that inhibit their ability to project their own brain energy, their own psychic
energy.
Okay,
let me be clear here. As we get from the just go pick something up at the food market, because a lot of my friends think milk comes from a refrigerator because their mother puts the milk carton there or the milk jug. They don't know that it comes from cows, okay? Now, I'm living in a rural area next to cows. I own some cows. I don't anymore because they got too expensive to be friends, and I hated selling them because they were friends, and I raised them from the time I was a baby. You know, Tom showed them how to count with their feet, and they're close to them. We had pigs and stuff, so that was fun. But I had to give all of it up because of money. So let's be honest. Right now, the almighty dollar, and everybody can vote with their dollar as to what you buy. Now, Steve's got a good point. If you want to be clairvoyant, if you want to have intuitive skills, if you want to know your birthrights, and if you want to get closer to extraterrestrials, you may want to stop carrying here's your sign, you know, and get her done. And I'm from the South. I love my humor. I wish I was a comedian. But we don't like these companies that are all about mega rich because they're going to be saying they're creating all these places, but they're also going in and destroying things for these places. They're saying we're big, we're Monsanto, we're all these big companies, which you mentioned, that the people that are against it are against Hershey's, J.M. Smucker, Mars.
Nestle's not Hershey's.
Grocery manufacturers, Hormel, Bumblebee Foods, Ocean Spray, Sara Lee, Bimbo Bakeries, Pinnacle Farms, Dean Foods, Biotechnology, Campbell's Soup, McCormick, Smithfield, Rich. And you know what it's about? Wrigley, all these things I buy every day in Walmart. Okay, I'm going to be honest with you. I have a lot of good food, organic food, but I also am a believer that anything, if you really believe and have all this faith, you can eat stuff and it won't hurt you, sort of, but not to the point of poison. I'm going around eating rat poison.
You can transmute it, yeah.
Yeah, you can transmute
like
it. But everything
your food
in logic
you eat it.
And everything in, what do they say, balance? What do they call it? Everything in moderation. So, I don't drink wine. I don't drink booze. I don't do pot. I don't do LSD. I don't do any trips. I'm very organically clean, except I like coffee, folks, and I have grew up on cola, and I apologize for that, but I can take it or leave it, and I should be off of it to lose weight. But I don't.
I hope you're not drinking diet
pure
stuff.
I don't do diet, no.
Yeah, please.
I used to have friends when I lived in Hawaii. It was the first time I was really clean because you are the company you keep. Have you heard birds together flock together?
Mm-hmm.
And these girls, and I'll say Cynthia Chu and Dr. Laura Sturgis. Now, Dr. Laura and I didn't smoke, but Cynthia did, so she got on these awful-smelling cigarettes. Oh, my God. But she also taught me I didn't even know. I was really totally growing up in a world in Hawaii to be clean, but I didn't know what MSG was. So believe it or not, folks, MSG was my introduction to what was in my food. And then this guy came over from Germany, Switzerland, supporting me because I'm extraterrestrial and I had this spiritual thing going with psychic networks in Hawaii. And he started cleaning me up, saying, you got to go off the coffee, you got to go off the Cokes, you got to learn what you're eating. I said, excuse me? He says, I've been watching. I'm living here in your pretty mansion, but you're stupid. I said, excuse me? He said, he's walking around in these white India things. And I said, well, you're stupid because you wear white pajamas, okay? He said, when in Rome, And he said, well, you've got to learn how to eat. But he didn't teach me all these things, people. So, I'm growing up. I'm awakened. I do understand we're going to – I loved eating all those avocado and bean sprout hippie days, but – kids are reading about who we were then, and a lot of us were potheads and open life and think we were all Pleiadian or something from another world, but we just thought we were. But the other half were NASA nerds, and we were trying to be real futuristic. And where Steve has taken me is learning that we're still fighting the same battles. It just depends on the almighty dollar. Now, what we're talking about, Steve, is proposition labeling,
mm-hmm.
genetically engineered foods, right?
Right, right, yeah. Prop 37 is about forcing these companies to put a line of text on their products that tell us that there's these food products are modified. That could be raw vegetables, canned food, whatever, meat, sodas, processed food, anything. If it has GMOs, it needs to be labeled.
Well, if it's either GMO or it's not. And one guy has said on this Proposition 37, just figure if it's not labeled GMO that it's not, because it's about the labeling. And he's saying that all these people that are involved in this, and while the rich people are putting it in the corporations as they're all set, is it just means that the little guys will have a little break on the labeling for a while till they get theirs labeled. I think it's a little deeper than that. I think it's all about the almighty dollar as usual. And he's saying that, oh, well, they'd be more than happy to label if people cared. But people don't vote their dollar that way. They're buying all this food. So here's the opponents and supporters jockeying back and forth, people, as usual, left, right, black, white, hat. It always seems to go that way. Vote with your dollar. And right now is the most powerful year in the world. It's the most important election of the world. And as America goes, so goes the world. So all these propositions that people come up with for change, labeling genetically engineered foods is good, but at the same time, if you're not going to buy it, it doesn't matter. So the only thing you can do is just say, look at the prices. They're dropping. Oh, God, this 37, they're passing the word. It's not about voting yes or no, Proposition 37. It's voting your spirit, your goodwill with your almighty dollar. Find out who the opponents are. I've told you Hershey's, J.M. Smucker, Mars, Council for Biotechnology, Grocery Manufacturers, Hormel, Bumblebee, Ocean Spray, Bimbo, Pinnacle, all these. Now, you can find this at kcet.org. That's the news. And then your supporters are people I've never heard of. They don't have any money. See, now let me tell you something. This is a reality show, but it's a radio show about the truth. And I'm going to tell you the truth the way I understand it, even though I may sound ignorant as heck. I don't know who Michael Funk is of United Natural Foods. I may eat his food every day, but I don't know. I've heard of Applegate's farm. Have you, Steve?
Yeah, that sounds familiar. Mm-hmm.
See, you don't even know either. Annie's? No. Cliff Bar? I'm sure
they're
Oh, yeah.
Annie's is they make rice and stuff like that. But a lot.
Dr. Bronner's Magic Soaps. He's given $358,882 to support this proposition. Now, your biggest contributor is MERCOLA Health Resources LLC to support this. So they're the now. See, it's like follow the money. It's what all the foreigners tell me. These Indians and people that call me from Atlanta, they're trying to educate me, is telling my people on radio to follow the money for the political year, is look who is behind whoever it is that's voting. And I'm telling you, look behind who is behind Proposition 37. Don't go in blindly. Find out for yourself. So Steve brought up on Political Night something that's probably very, very touchy with some very big companies.
Oh,
right,
yeah.
Steve?
Oh, a lot of big money involved. You know, I'll tell you something else. Bill Gates, you know, I used to think Bill Gates was a really great guy because he was spending so much money.
Now we're going to start dropping names of. Now, remember, we're supposed to be creating love and light and balance.
Love and light.
Here we are talking crap on getting down into the dirty. Okay.
But
well,
he has come out, he just got through putting a huge amount of money into Monsanto.
Oh, okay, so, crap. Not
yeah,
even.
Yeah, he just bought a huge amount of money. And another thing about Monsanto, and this is controversial, there's a rumor that Monsanto has actually bought outright, Black, that mercenary company, I want to call it Blackthorn or Blackhand or Black, whatever it is. You remember those guys, the ones that got in trouble in Iraq, the mercenary crews? What the heck?
I remember Skunk Works, but are you talking?
I regret their logo.
Are you
is
talking
like
about Blackwater? Maybe Blackwater.
Blackwater, that's the guys.
Oh,
yeah,
don't tell me I know the name. I haven't even looked it up.
Monsanto has purchased.
Is it really a Blackwater group?
Yeah, Blackwater
is
like the largest mercenary company in the world.
Oh,
and they've actually
See,
moved
now, I'll
out
pull
of,
that out of the. I pulled that out of up there because I didn't know who you were talking about. But that's how psychics work. You get close to it, we'll guess it, right?
I knew you'd do that. But,
okay.
You know, they say that they're going to use Blackwater resources to essentially target and attack people that oppose the GMO foods in Monsanto. So they're going to infiltrate some of these groups. And another thing that should be pointed out. Yeah. If you look at the DHS, the Department of Homeland Security.
Are you starting did you come on here to start all this conspiracy theory stuff?
Well, it kind of all ties in, you know. It's not really.
Are you
a
black guy?
Like
are you wearing a black hat or a white hat?
Let me look. Actually, my hat at the moment is actually black. You're going to.
Oh, no. Oh, God, you're still a
baseball hat.
You're still
come on.
Carrying a gun. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
So you're not. You understand these Blackwater guys are just trying to make a living for what they think is right, and that's what makes them so dangerous.
Well, yeah, but any time you're offering somebody big money to kill another person, that's probably not a very noble job to take. You know.
Well, unfortunately, a lot of them stayed at 5K because they just thought it would be fun to go kill somebody, so it's still pretty
exactly.
cheap. But you see these women on reality show that I'll do it for 500, you know, will you kill my husband, that kind of stuff, you know. So, you know, life
thing
life.
I really want to mention, though, is that the Department of Homeland Security considers the groups that are anti-GMO food, considers those groups terrorist organizations.
Oh,
so,
whoa, why? Yeah. Because
well,
you don't even
it's crazy.
Changing, or they're behind the money?
they're because they're fighting the establishment, they're fighting the New World Order. The New World Order wants to do this, and this is they take their orders from the Illuminati.
So it's still whoever has the most money wins. So that's why these elections are all about the almighty dollar and why they have to go get money to put in their campaigns, right?
Yeah, and they're all about reducing the Earth's population and generating lots of negative energy, you know, loose energy, negative human, emotional, psychic energy.
Do you think Bill Gates is investing in Monsanto? Because hasn't he made enough money?
It's not about the money. He's doing his job as a good Illuminati puppet to try to kill off humans. And this is why the vaccination program
why
is
Why do they
want
to kill humans? I thought we had to get to 7 billion.
Why do they want to? They want to
reduce
the population.
We've already reached that they can't turn back. Point.
Well, you know, okay. they're Agenda 21 and all that. They want to reduce the population of the world by 80-90%. Okay.
Why?
There's a lot of reasons for this. Now, I'll tell you why the Illuminati wants to do this. Okay, there's a couple. One thing they say is that it will be easier to control because, you know, like we said last night, they're in a kind of a minority. The bad guys are in a minority. Another way of looking at it, and this is kind of controversial, and you're probably not going to hear anyone else say this, but because of the process of reincarnation, most worlds, most planets with human life forms or whatever life forms, they only have about 200 million entities living on those planets. And what happens is the souls of those entities stay on that planet and reincarnate, and graduate. Well, what's happened is when a population gets out of control like it has on the Earth and we hit 7 billion, you know, we're only supposed to be 200 million, we hit 7 billion. The Creator has to constantly replenish the bank of souls. So what happens now is we've got the majority of all the people running around have got immature souls. You know, like we talk about people, you're an old soul. Well, by the same token, there's a lot of young, immature souls that don't have all those lives under their belts and they don't have all that experience. And they really think that they're doing a service to everybody by eliminating some of these excess bodies, because that way the souls that are here get to graduate quicker and we all get to graduate at the same time. That's kind of about the way this transition thing works, is at least some people
think.
Yeah,
but any one of us with extraterrestrial contact can zap them if we want to, just like they use the little zappers to create heart attacks, you know?
You mean to take out humans? Well,
yeah,
yeah,
but they don't do that.
They're using soft kill techniques, you know. And
well,
there's
money. I asked you, when did you get soft? Remember last night?
Well, you know, like for instance, Fukushima. You know, nobody talks about Fukushima.
That's a bad word.
Irradiated.
We don't want to know that we're all being killed by all the stuff in the water,
yeah,
but we're not stupid.
Exactly. We're already dying. You know, we're already dying. And how do you do that? The only people that can really withstand that all that energy and that radiation, all these negative things that are going on, are people who have woke up, who are starting to use their chi energy, their psychic energy, and they're creating a energy bubble around them. They're transmuting these negative energies, and that's all you can do through using orgone devices and whatnot. You know, like I like to say, magic. You know, the only way you can defend yourself now is with magic. You're not, you know, you're not going to come to your house and lead.
People automatically think of the old stuff, the black magic. Like my husband calls it voodoo. You heard him. You know, because the preacher people, they just know the old stuff in the books. They only, you know, he's not even from Louisiana, but he calls everything voodoo.
He told me a story today about a kid who was injured. You know, your husband, Tom, he told me a story tonight about natural healing. And he said he was talking about a kid who was injured, and then somebody
came
over.
7 days and went back, and he
prayed on him, right, prayed over him, and he came back, and he was healed. He said, yeah, God did that. And your husband says, no, that's natural healing. Mm-hmm. Well, I like to think if you're praying and you're like, oh, well, Lord, protect us from this Fukushima, protect us from the radiation, you know, keep us from getting cancer, et cetera, et cetera. That's no different than using Reiki energy or whatever to do the same thing. So we all need
to
pray.
Well, let me tell you, here's why Bill Gates is investing in a Monsanto. He's not stupid, folks. He understands that he has the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, okay? So all lives have equal value. Now, I thought he was a good guy, and he probably still is. But if he wants to make us believe that he's saving the world because he's gone on the, okay, I have enough money, I'm out there saving lights and lives in Tanzania and all these places that are third world countries, he's also smart enough to read the sources. Anybody that reads, separates Main Street from Wall Street, okay, that's sort of like the old 401k, and they stole them from us. They stole our parents' gold watches and their... I don't know if y'all, a lot of y'all may not understand how this has worked, but every generation has something to look forward to since World War II, I guess you'd say, in '40s, when we all had the, oh, God, too big to fail thing, and we had a depression, and we all put it on our timeline. But here is Bill Gates, one of the richest guys, smartest guys in the world, but he looks at the U.S. National Agricultural Statistics. He knows what farmers are doing. And he understands that the food prices are on the rise and that we buy more percent of household expenditures for food in the poorer countries. They have 45% of their household money spent in the poorer countries, such as Kenya. It's 35% for food in India. That's ridiculous. When we come to this planet and we're promised to breathe clean air and to drink clean water and to get clean food, believe it or not. But in the U.S., 6%. Okay, now this is according to the World Bank, but it's 3 years old. You'll never find, because of politics and what we've put our money into, really good world statistics. You know, honestly, it's very hard to believe what they give you because of our economists and our accountants. Now, since we talked, Steve, you're bringing up all this stuff that I can get very energized about.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I grew up in this political world. My name is Thurmond. It's in my DNA and my blood ritual, so it must be something to do, and I know you don't like blood rituals, but think about it. I was born as a woman with the name Thurmond, and I had to fight my whole life because I was white. The only thing that saved me was I was a woman, or we didn't get the crap beat out of me like my brothers did, okay? My brother got so manipulated as a Marine and with the blacks and the Marines that he got beat up all the time, okay? He is now dead. He shouldn't be dead. I'm 61. He was younger than me by about 10 years, and he was calling for my name at the end, but they let him die. So he knew a lot of stuff, you know. But anyway, he's dead now. My other brother is dead from AIDS. You know, can't get rid of him one way, get rid of him another. But he came on in life as a twin to a girl, and he acted like one. And it was a very hard life for him because he tried to be macho and stuff, but he couldn't be. It wasn't in him. It was strange. He was a very strange child. But how this goes is Thurmonds were prepared to fight a battle. And this is why people like Laurie Magdalene Eisenhower, because she is a great-granddaughter, or great-great, I forget which, Cindy would know. But anyway, Laura Magdalene, in our culture, we have that we're starting a whole new one here. They like her just because she's trying to connect with her dead relative. But the thing is, Eisenhower tried to do what he could, but he saw the whole thing. It was too late. He went, oops, we should have told, but we didn't. So now we're screwed because now the political-industrial complex has gotten too big. That also ties into how we're trying to control the world with food. So we got the United Nations, we got UNESCO. Now, he's brought up another name, Bill Gates. It gets me all rawr because he is a software philanthropist, meaning that that's how he got his money and he gives it away, basically. So he's trying to help over 1 billion people right now. And 15% of the world, which is really more, I would say 35% of the people live in extreme poverty. But because you can just go by 35% of India, you know, and who else did I mention? Kenya. But we need to be looking. I am going to start a campaign 2013. I hope Steve will help me. Steve, we can't help ourselves. My husband is going to die on me probably in 2013 if he lasts that long. He is part of the extraterrestrial generation that came here to do his job with Reagan. You and me are part of that group. The CIA and SA are going to say, how in the world did we put Teresa Jeanette Thurmond with Thomas Ray Morris and Stephen Dell Kelly? They all worked for Ronald Reagan. How did we do that? Did we do that, or did they do it? You know, but I think it's going to be about poverty. I think it's going to be about helping America with our own poverty, because as I keep reiterating, I am about health and prosperity because that's my extraterrestrial belief system. But I'm also a Thurmond. I'm also a woman. And in this lifetime, I have other names that Steve has called me, Semyase. So let us announce tonight that my very many levels are going to come together from all my past lives, the Mu and Atlantis, and working with Billy Meyer when I was incarnated in January 27, 1974, to introduce the extraterrestrial world at a believable area. And Steve, you did hear my husband tonight for the first time as himself ever on Earth. I thank you for that. I believe you heard him earlier. He wasn't going to come on. However, he did. And I think Tommy's on now. Let me see. But thank you for that. And I appreciate you, and I always will if we never speak again on Earth. Now, you know, I appreciate your Proposition 34 and your, you know, 34. I appreciate that. I hope you will become a team member for me. I would like you to consider being my co-host. If you're, and I can send you something, but we'll talk about the finances to get you on. Tommy, are you there? Is that you?
Yes, that's me.
What did you find out about our venue?
Absolutely nothing.
Okay, so we haven't no contact. Okay, Tommy, this is Steve. I would like you to get to know him. I'm asking him to be one of my co-hosts during the week. You will still have Saturday and Sunday. He'll have the weekend off. Steve hasn't agreed yet because he just got asked.
Well, you
I'm
know,
giving him no time to think about it.
I enjoy this, and I would certainly do my best to help you out any time that I can, assuming that there isn't something going on, you know, previous commitments. But
I understand.
I'm there for you otherwise.
Well, thank you. All right. Well, then good. He's probably aboard. Tommy, he has agreed to be the project manager for our 2013 conference, however. And Tommy will lead the way, at least on the one on the East Coast, and help you with the one on the West Coast. So in 2013, Tommy and Steve, I'm planning to fight poverty and hunger in America as the first cause. So we'll be able to get all these people on board, these people that are supporting this Project 37. I don't even know where I was to see that, but I'm sure that if you know about this, you'll know how to get your sponsors behind you for whatever you said over there. But we'll work with you in California on that. Now, Tommy, I know we're all about saving the whales and the dolphins. Whenever you get your conference going over there, I'll come over and Steve will support you in Hawaii. But in the meantime, until we get that going, folks, I do want to promote Tommy with Ace Folklife, the Ascension Guide, the Ascension Center for those that need a place to live, you know, the older folks and all that. And Janet's trying to get one on hers, and Tommy will be working to work with authors, copywriters, editors, speakers. But right now we've got so much on our plate, we can't even get it all under who wants to be in what. So I'm using Facebook, Ace Folklife, Alien ET UFO Community, and I've got to get Tommy. Tommy, I hadn't even put you on Ace Folklife yet. I did manage to get Steve on by coincidence. But you're not even in our Facebook Ace Folklife group, are you, Tommy?
I should be.
What, have you been on there?
Well, I got into it once, and I had trouble getting back into it.
Me too. Somebody took it over. I was hoping, well, maybe Steve can figure it out. I was trying to put Steve on as the new administrator for the Ace Folklife so he could be the overall project manager for our authors and stuff. But I've got to get his book finished to be official member of our Ace Folklife. But Tom was the president. But Tom is going to be stepping down tonight, which I didn't understand, Tommy. But unfortunately... He does. We're getting close to the end, folks, but I may go overtime tonight. Tom gave up his position. He doesn't think he's going to be alive. He's looking forward to trying to make it to a Las Vegas February, which I had no idea we were going to do, except that I told Janet they sprang it on a radio show here, folks, right before a month ago or whenever we had the UFO Con 2012, Janet brought on Lorian Fenton. She came on board. She gave us a commercial MP3. We promoted it for them. And anyway, they said they wanted to have Tom speak in February. And so far, I know nothing about it, folks. So, you know, I'm embarrassed because I want to promote my husband. So Steve and Tom, we may have to scramble around and create something in February if these ladies don't do it. I hate to call on you men, but Tommy, have you heard anything from Janet about a February Las Vegas?
No, I didn't.
Steve, I know you're brand new to this group. All right, well, right now, Janet's saying she and her husband may not even speak at the Alchemy because of she's trying to sell tickets and people just don't have money. It's rough turnout. I'm sure there'll be, probably 100, 200. He's hoping within the next month we can get up to 500 people. And so, everybody, we're doing what we can. I need to send out a lot of stuff. Everybody, if you want to help us, it's the Alchemy event. Steve is going to be a speaker on Sunday. Tommy's trying to get over there to help. Have you talked to – this is the commercial at the end of the show, folks.
Well, yeah, I talked to him. I talked to David.
Yes. What's going on
and,
there?
They're not even doing Friday. He goes, if you come up with a lot of money, we could do it, and I'll get you in as a speaker. I guess that's what Janet's trying to do. I'm not sure because he says he needs a lot more money to do it.
She told me tonight he needed another $5,500. What did she say, Steve? Was it $5,000? Do you remember?
That seems to be right. I think she was looking for $5,000.
Yeah. So I don't think they're going to get the $5,000 for the venue. So we're going to recreate that for the New Worlds and get the venue area to work with us wherever we promote. I will get the area from the Chamber of Commerce and the tourism boards to work with me. That's the way we do it over here in the South, folks, because we don't have a lot of fancy stuff, so we don't know about how these fancy places that can charge these. Now, when I went over to Bowling Green, which is where Western Kentucky University is, they wanted me to give them $6,500 for their very nice room where you have these nice seats that go down into the valley, I don't know what you call it, with the big screens and all that, you know. You understand what I'm saying? It was a very nice venue. They have a very nice place, but we don't have that kind of money. So what we're going to try to create is a place that would like to have our business and so we can start bringing in people with their gatherings, and we're going to treat it like a homecoming. So Tommy and Steve, I think we may keep it small the first time to people that want to be organizers, presenters, speakers, people that are just publishing. And Ace Folk Life is my publishing group, people. My publishing company is TJ Marsh Publishing. My imprint on your books is Timely Manner. If you want to get a book done, send it to me. I get 20% for, believe it or not, I split 50% of that into charity always. Whatever I do is split with the world, so I'm a co-creator with the universe. Basically, I'm not making any money, so I'm spending a lot of money trying to get people's stuff done for them because they don't have it and I want to help them, and that's just the nature of the beast. But we're going to try to create this in the future where everybody can get their stuff done together, and we're going to call it a cooperative. Now, I know we can't afford to feed you right now or just take care of you, neither can the government, but we all know you want to work, and we're talking to you at a global level where we understand all you people are hurting out there, but if we don't take care of ourselves, it's like being on an airplane. If the mommy doesn't put the air, you know, the planet, you're going down and losing pressure and nobody can breathe. If you don't put your own mask on, it's a little hard to save your kids next to you and the people sitting around you. So I'm going to ask Tommy, and we're sort of like the plane's going down. I'm going to ask Tommy and Steve to put their mask on while I do, and we're going to start helping our children at home and get America back in the driver's seat where they're supposed to be, as the pilot and the co-pilot, and get them situated, because as America goes, so goes the world. We're going to get some American entrepreneurs working together. We're going to get this broadband thing happening in the United States, get our infrastructure done. We're going to get these rails going coast to coast along, we've got the rail and we've got the interstates, but we need to work on them. We need to work on our bridges. So we've got a lot of work to do, but we also are trying to get people into power and communications. This is the telecommunication. This is the communication age. This is the age of cosmology. And what we're going to do is try to bring you all the people that we know that are the movers and shakers in the spiritual paranormal world, and apparently some kind of disclosure of politics. I didn't know I was going to do politics. I promised I'd stay out of it. You'd have to know me as a Thurmond to understand the power of my name and what energy that I can invoke, but that's just a 3D level. But I am a woman, so who listens to a woman, right? Well, I'm about to trying to empower the next 2,600 years, but being that said, that's all long term. For the next 50 years, what I'd like to work on is getting everything back on track, and I believe these conferences are gathering. It's strictly to get everybody to a think tank. And what we're going to do is try to get them to walk their talk and talk action, and we're going to use speechcraft. And we're going to take again what Steve has said is the power and magic of the whole energy that we have to do with our water, empowering ourselves, our brains, our pineal glands, not crystallizing. And Tommy's all on board of that. But Tommy, this is Steve. Steve, this is Tommy. Can y'all say hi and stuff, you know?
How you doing?
All right. I was just trying to get some information on this conference and seeing what's going to go on, but the numbers are completely closed out. I can't get through to nobody. I'm trying to call the hotel for hours, and I can't even get through to the hotel. It's pretty bizarre.
Wow. Well, thank you. That's not a good sign, is it? Well,
no.
It wasn't supposed to be, apparently, tonight, and tomorrow during the day you may get up late, but you can catch her. Let me give Steve the phone number, too. Or you can later. Tommy, Steve is new, but he's in California, so he's strategically located. You're in Hawaii. He's in California. Of course, I'm in Kentucky. And David Saeed said he was on board for 2013, but he sort of wanted it to be like Chicago or somewhere where there's money, he said, you know, to back up the place. So this is something we can decide because we're going to have no more than seven on my team. I've always been a lead investigator of 5 to 7, depends on our teams. We'll figure all that out, folks, for you. We are going to start working with a lot of organizations that are already formed. They've already done all their work. They've gotten all their people behind their causes. You'll see a lot of causes on Facebook. And what we need to do, Tommy and Steve, is to look at who all we have attached to us, and we need to start taking action, not just talk and books and speaking engagements, but get our Facebook social networks understanding that we're three working together and how we can move forward with other people. And you're going to have to do your work. And I tell everybody, if you work with me, you're going to work. It's fun. I try to keep it as positive as possible. I use Reiki. I am a grand Reiki master, I guess is what one would say. In other words, whenever I'm really, really down, I can boost myself up and supercharge me. And usually, if we're on a good topic, people feel buzzed when
That's
we get
right.
off the phone. But I also know how easy it is to let other people affect me and bring me down. And I bet Tommy and Steve know exactly what I'm talking about. And it's unfortunate it's at the end of the show, so tomorrow is Wednesday. I have is this Tuesday? So tomorrow's Wednesday.
It's
tomorrow's MUFON night, Mutual UFO Network night. We talk about UFOs tomorrow night. I don't know Steve's financial arrangement, Tommy. He's sort of going through change like you did, if you remember all the phones and everything. Steve, did you find anything about the
I have a flat rate for long distance, so it's not a big deal.
Oh, good. So you can participate without giving
sure,
anybody...
I can be on the phone for hours, yep.
Okay, so
PJ,
go ahead, Tommy.
Do you have AT&T?
I do.
Because they offered a new plan. It just started this past month.
Okay.
And basically, it's unlimited calling.
Okay.
Plus, it's 20 gigabytes of high-speed internet.
Okay, they just gave me that. They dropped me from $272 a month to, I think it was $205 plus tax, and we have real high taxes. So I think it's $200 I'm paying for the whole group. I've got five on my plan, but I own three of them because a couple of people thought they'd pay me and didn't.
I have four lines on mine. And it's like, you know how bad it is where I am, because I got a direct connection to the phone line, but it's not super high speed.
Well, how much are you paying? I got DSL now. I took off my Hughes. I was paying $69 for Hughes, but I didn't.
Well,
my 2-year contract just came up October 15th, and so if you actually, I'm thinking this AT&T DSL is more secure, and I don't have to share my satellite, and I'm getting better reception, believe it or not, in the last 2 days since Steve came in. It's funny. Steve came in and the whole energy changed. Now, folks, I know y'all don't believe in all this hoopla and stuff, but maybe some of it is important. But Steve, me and Tommy can probably talk all this funky stuff that you may or may not be into. We'll get into UFO funky tomorrow night. But, guys, we got to have a certain download night. And politics is very low 3D, anchoring, being real night, which is Tuesday night. So I'd like to... You know, Steve, if you can take over Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, that would be very helpful. Tommy, do you want Friday night or do you just want Saturday and Sunday? Have you talked to Nangel about it? Does she want to help Buddhas, Reiki
stuff?
She
can't be pinpointed. I have to bring her on, like, because she's pretty sick, and I have to catch her when she's not really sick.
Okay, so she'll just come on with the Buddhas Reiki stuff with
Cindy. Right, she can come on with teachings
Cindy
and stuff like
targeted
that.
On helping and vibrations and, you know, helping the world and being organized to focus as a teacher instructor. And, you know, so Cindy, there you go. Cindy's working out her past life. And she's a teacher, so I know she's not just about self, because in this karmic lifetime she is a teacher. Literally, folks, she said it was okay to tell you she's a teacher. She's a historian, and I'm trying to get her to understand how she could help with Ace Folklife, with Steve and with Tommy. But now Ace Folklife has been in business since 2003, but we had to shut her down during bankruptcy in 2008 when everything went all the heck, and they took my 401k and lost all my, you know. But that's okay, because I needed to be. I don't have a vow of poverty. I just have a vow of being. And so I lost everything in 2008, you know, but I'm not about, oh, poor me, oh, well, everybody else did too. Don't worry about it. We're restructuring the world. Now, do you guys think that you can help us at least be out there and let people know what we're dealing with? Because all of us are at that level where we're all speakers and we're all writing a book and we're all waking up to the fact that we are Reiki masters and we can work with the future. What do you think, Steve?
Sounds good to me.
Hold on.
I'd love to get involved in some Reiki events. You know, I got to tell you something real quick, Teresa. Can you still hear me?
Yeah. Tommy had to drop off.
You dropped off there for a second. I was talking to Janet earlier and about a dream I had, and I was up on a stage looking out over a vast crowd, kind of in a sports complex type thing, like an open air. It was almost like a concert. But we were talking about Reiki. We were all there to talk about Reiki. And I thought, hey, maybe, you know, instead of these fancy little banquet halls and whatnot, maybe we should be looking into a big open outdoor venue and make it really cheap and try to get as many people there as we can.
Well, we've tried that, and people aren't really into Reiki that much. They don't even understand the word. So we're still dealing with, in America, American terms, except, so you lived in California and grew up in California, you have no clue how different California is. We still say that they grow the fruits and the nuts in California, okay?
Yeah, well, we do have a big metaphysical community out here, that's for sure.
Right. So, but you got to realize that New York's been getting jealous because we were starting to infiltrate with Donald Trump and bring our country, Nashville, IMBA and BMI and our singers up there, you know, and we're infiltrating into New York, bringing our country horses and stuff up there, so they got a little pissed off. So now they're throwing back at us, you know, that all we have in the South is country singers and UFO nuts. So.
Boy.
I claim that. That's okay. You know, if we're going to be the South with the UFO nuts, I think they're all over the country, personally, because I know they're all over the world, but maybe I'm part of that reputation down here. That's okay. But I'm going to own it, because if we can bring in the, you know, Reiki is just a word somebody started. Nobody will get behind something that somebody else started, because then that means there's followers. So,
well, yeah, I don't
the International Reiki
that.
Center owns that. There's the Reiki organization, folks. If you're interested in being a follower, Reiki is a Japanese technique for stress reduction and relaxation that promotes healing. We're about healing, but we're not necessarily about owning a technique or a word. Now, that word is protected. We can't use it. It's IARP, Reiki, International Association of Reiki Professionals. I'm just saying that when we say we're Reiki grandmasters or whatever, it's a Reiki in what is behind the word and what is it charged with. Now, you will find out that people in the metaphysical world have all this international centers for training, blah, 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 Reiki membership. It's a big movement. It's like New Age. It has its own charged energy. And unfortunately, in the future, we're not going to be using these names. So we got to come up with some new words, some new names, and our own newly charged words. So we have associateguides.com. We own that. We have ascensioncenter.org. We have associate guides. If you want to play with a forum, we'd appreciate it. If you want to help us create some new words, we have associateguides.com media wiki, which is Associate Guides MW. Now, we are crossing over into the new world and the new age and the new ascension, the new taxonomy, and the new epistemology, and that is going to be the new Atlantis and the new beginning. So be thinking about, folks, what you want to call it, because we can't all relate. We're still fighting with among ourselves. So I understand the Reiki is good, and I understand your dream, but understand you don't own that word. Somebody else does, and it was started by Japanese Buddhist Mikao Sui in 1922, and it's been adapted by various groups that hung on to it and made it their own. Now, if you, I don't know how you can get around that, but it's still basically what we call a Japanese technique for stress reduction and relaxation, but it's only one of the tools. We also use tarot, psychometry, feng shui, a lot of Indian words, and even pendulums. Help me out, Steve. What else do you use besides
healing, channeling? Well, you know, we're talking about ways of divination. Obviously, the tarot. People need to understand that that's just accessing the superconscious, and it's not some satanic thing. Although I don't use Ouija boards, but I think you pretty much covered everything there, most of it.
All right. Now, the National Center for Complementary and Alternative Medicine says that Reiki, they know it doesn't improve fibromyalgia, because even Tommy, though he got bumped off, his girlfriend is a practiced Buddhist and Reiki master and will tell you that it doesn't seem to help. The reason is we're having trouble, like we charge our energy and charge our water. It's good for a quick fix, but it doesn't stick, and that's why so many people get buzzed and highs that are life seekers, fight or flight, or they jump off of cliffs, or they do hang gliding, or parachuting. It's what we call a Zen buzz, but
yeah,
it's
I should say this real quick. You know, you mentioned fibromyalgia. A lot of times that's a nervous condition. It has to do with stress. It's brought on by stress, and so many conditions are created by stress. So the lesson there is that which makes you calm is good.
Right, but we have to take action. So here's the Buddhist thing I'm contending with, and the Dalai Lama came to me a dream and laughed and told me that he, you know, about women and helping in the future, the next 2,600 years, because I was a past life Tibetan person, and I love Tibet, and I love him. And so the Dalai Lama told me in a dream that to take action, but he didn't tell me how. And that's a joke. Think about it. It's like an oxymoron, you know. Here, woman, take action, you know. And I was really happy to be with him and all that, and the world leaders. And I've been with President Obama at that level. But I've also been with Chief Golden Eagle, which is an Indian of no nation. But he sold out his conference, folks, in Phoenix. So let's give the chief a hand. Golden Reiki Eagle. Now I'm just playing, but I love my Reiki masters. Stop it. I am one. I love my animals. I like to think we're all energy. It doesn't matter whether a rock or tree. It's all biological. It's all life. How would you say that? Give me a help, Steve.
Well,
you know what
I
mean? Everything's living.
Well, we're all souls, right? I mean, we're all souls having a physical experience. That includes animals and inanimate objects and aliens and everything else.
All right. Well, How come Cindy hasn't been talking? She's been on for like 2 hours.
I'm here.
Did you get out of the bathtub?
But I haven't been on for 2 hours. I just called in. I had slept earlier. I don't know if I was fading in and out of sleep before. How is everybody today?
Well, we're sort of ended. We're just trying to get him to come back and be a real person. He's pretty grounded. He's a good speaker, excellent speaker. And I think he has a lot to offer.
I assume you're talking about Stephen.
Yes.
Well, thank you, Teresa.
You're welcome, Stephen.
And hi, Cindy. Yeah. Nice to see
hi,
you again.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good.
Yeah, I liked listening to you. I came in when you were talking about that proposition. What was it, 21?
37?
37.
Oh, yeah.
About months. Yeah, and I heard something where this baby lived for 2 weeks and had a new disease named after it, and it's a genetic modification caused by the GMO foods.
Well, you know, when take me into mods and clones and biological and,
that could be a whole other show.
We got to have that show.
To me, it is such an abomination that this is allowed to go on. And, you know, it just shows you what America is, that this is basically the one country and England where this is allowed to fly.
You two got to do this, because if I get you two together, nobody else is get a word in edgewise. So I learned that last night. So what we're going to do is we're going to have some upscale shows and some downscale, or either divide them into a positive
and a negative. What does that mean, upper and
downscale? And warn these people. Because you talk about a lot of things that
low vibration.
Low vibration versus high vibration. Yeah, because people need to know. They're going to tune in. And they're going to know if I'm talking or somebody else is talking, because I can watch my chat room. And when I'm talking, everybody's up and they're happy and they stay. And the minute I put somebody on and their energy is low or they start talking about something, they'll fall off. So I'm learning that I've got to warn my listeners what topic we're going to talk on, or at least what tags and visibility. And tonight was politics, Cindy, which I've never done before, but Steve is new. And here's what I want you guys to think about. I am T.J. Morris with Associate Guides, but I'm going to take on 7 other guides. Tommy's one. I guess Janet's going to be one. I don't have a confirmation from her, but she helped me get this started, and I never leave friends behind. So there's Tom, Janet, Tommy. They pretty well I could count on them with the show. That's 3 people. Now, I made this show, and I'm surprised I got anybody to help me. And then, also Hugh came on, but Hugh comes and goes. He doesn't want me to count on him. He gave me Thursday night and dropped it, so I'm tempted to give Cindy Thursday night. Politics in America was Thursday night, and I think, Cindy, you hold that Washington, D.C., around the Beltway energy because you were EEOC, so I think you can do that. So you think about that without telling people your real name and stuff. We'll try to keep you hidden. But as a history buff and an educator, do you think you can become an actual associate guide as a board of directors and hold the energy to have a seminar or convention up there by yourself, even if you had 7 people supporting you in your area?
You know, I just find everything is changing every day.
Exactly.
And
it is.
Mm-hmm. So,
it's hard to do anything or plan anything.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a very powerful human being, much less a woman. Well, you think about that. Put in your hat, because I know you have to take one day at a time, and we'll keep that in consideration. So you'll be noncommittal. So, Steve, can you pick up Thursday for me?
Yeah, I think I can commit to Thursday.
Okay, well, hopefully I'm going to keep you Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and that'll leave you off for Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I don't have anybody for Friday or Monday, but Janet seems to usually lean towards Monday, but she never wants Friday, so I still have Friday open. So you two think about it. You can talk amongst yourselves, but we're going to have to get some other powerful people. I asked David. He's an organizer. Now, I have one of the ladies. She has her own show. Karen Dolan vibrates well with me. It's Richard Dolan's wife. Are y'all familiar with her?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now she may vibrate. Excuse me, people. Now I forget it. We're still online. I'm talking to two Reiki masters here. Okay, she resonates with me. So basically, I'm just saying, people, we're going to find some more people to help us 7 nights a week because I can do it. I have the energy. I've proven it to myself. I wasn't sure because I have a very ill husband, but I'm trying to keep him alive. And I want to promote his books and keep him alive as long as I can. Mm-hmm. And the extraterrestrials, he gave them an ultimatum to leave him alone. And let him die in peace on this planet because this is where he wanted to die because he had got stuck and they wouldn't let him heal him. He doesn't believe in Reiki and all that. So how do you heal somebody that doesn't believe in faith healing or Reiki energy or vibration and he won't let me touch his head or his neck or anything? You know, I can't. And, Janet and these other women that are in my inner circle that are healers, that are very powerful women, as organizers. Now, Phyllis Galdi is one of our females. She has the Fate magazine. She calls herself our grandmother. So Phyllis Galdi is one of my people, but I don't think she's big on organizing, but she's a very powerful woman. And we are going to promote Fate magazine with her. Now, we've also got a lady that said they would help IUFO Congress. So they have the magazine, Open Minds magazine. And then we have a Mutual UFO Network, of course, that's the captain and here in Cincinnati. And one of my guys is Ventures. He's been very helpful. And I don't know if I can count on Florida or not, but that's Robert Stephen Monroe. Stephen, just like you, Stephen. I think you'll like him. But we're going to hold Florida open, but I think we got Pennsylvania between Janet and Mr. Ventries, and I can't remember his name, and I know you don't, Cindy, do you? But he taught for us one night. But Cindy and I don't know how you are, Steve, but we've got to start remembering names so you make him help us. So what we want to do is try to ground this energy into talking on certain nights where we can talk to our crowd for different that will tune in to paranormal. We have our spirituality crowd, and now thanks to Hugh Trawson brought in Politics Night, which was American Veterans Night, was Thursday. But Steve's not a veteran, however, he has been a government contractor and understands weapons. So, Steve, what's tonight, Tuesday? We actually didn't have a Tuesday night special. Hmm. So I know Tuesdays must be yours, if that's okay, Steve. Can you pick that up for Politics?
Politics is fine. I mean, as long as we get to talk a little bit in advance and we can kind of plan on what different areas we want to cover, I think that's great.
Okay, I just don't know. Unfortunately, when you get people together, I've told my people I have no clue because I can say we're going to be under this heading and try to go there, and it depends on who you get on the show and what you pull together. It goes
sure.
Wherever it wants to.
What
Where
do you
call
that?
Where
the inspiration is, yeah.
Yeah, because everybody gets their own thing, and you're trying to stay on topic, and you'll hear all these other radio show hosts clicking people on and off saying, we got to stay on topic, you know, and I've tried that, and it doesn't work. So you just sort of plan stuff and hope people get with the flow. But anyway, as far as homework, Cindy wants to go one day at a time, so she'll call in, but she usually winds up being apart, you know, and she can't decide on if she wants to commit to it, but if you're okay, then maybe we'll see how you go, Steve, and see how if your energy, how great a master you are, because it takes a lot of energy to do a regular anything radio show. But you can also, you know, we can get your book done and help you get into the Ace Folk Life, knowing other authors, you know, try to get you in some other venues for speaking, and we'll try to get you into the organizing of the California show for the East Coast, and then it doesn't matter what we call it, and I'll try to get Cindy on the East Coast, or we'll come over there. But Cindy, what is the closest international airport you're closest to?
Richmond,
International?
Virginia. Mm-hmm.
Oh, goodness.
It's an international airport.
What kind
of
conference?
It's really easy to get around. I mean, I grew up.
All right.
You know,
well, we'll talk about Richmond for a venue then. You really think it'd be an okay? Where do they have conferences right now that aren't? See, we want them to want us, so we got to see.
Oh, they have tons of hotels.
All right. Well, that's
and
something
it's
you
cheap
can,
here. It's cheap here. The hotels are So easy city to get around. The airport is really easy to get in and out of. I grew up by JFK in New York, and my father worked at, you know, at the airport. And, you know, that's a hard airport to get around. It's really
easy. All right, well, I like Richmond. I've been there many, many, many times. And, all right, Richmond, folks, will probably be when we go see Cindy. We just don't know what venue or what date. And we're going to go see Steve in Anaheim. Is that where you are, Steve? Did you say you claim Anaheim or L.A.?
Well, I'm actually in a suburb of L.A.
Yeah, but I'm talking about
Anaheim.
For a convention when we help you plan your
oh.
your gathering.
Well, I'll tell you, L.A., there's, you know, there's, what, we have 10 million people in a relatively small radius.
Mm-hmm.
I like Orange County. I think for this crowd, I think we ought to think about looking
into
Orange County.
That's, I told you, that's where my attorney was when I was working on the Michael Jackson projects and stuff.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of
Mullen T-shirts. All right, so folks, it looks like right now we're looking at Richmond and Orange County for 2013, and we're looking on something right away for my husband because Tommy Hawksblood is going to do the Pigeon Forge, which we'll try to get Steve over because he's going to be the project manager. Now, Steve, I'll get back with you on the business plan and the marketing plan for the future, if that's okay. She's an educator, and she can help us with the curriculum, I guess. And we got all kind of players that'll want to play, a lot of organizers, a lot of people that'll help us in the various groups and all of that. So right now we just need to cover 7 nights a week on this show. And we'll try to get everything together. And it's always about health and prosperity, sustainability for planet and species, if y'all need to know what the New Beginnings is about. It's about sustainability for planet and species, and it's about health and prosperity. And, of course, we're going to support art, culture, education, science, technology, history, and folk life. Now, where I don't know where Steve fits in, I guess, under technology, and Cindy is history, right? Cindy is history. How are you?
Sure, I'll do something with, you know, I think Tommy Hawksblood has a lot to say about history also.
Yes, he does. And he's also about folk life and folklore. And he's our president of Ace Folk Life in Hawaii. And Janet has Ascension Center. So we've got to decide which one, you know, we've got various energies. And we've just got to see, on Facebook, folks, is where we start our neophytes or initiates. How do you say that in terminology that people understand? I don't know if they do. See, that's what I'm talking
newbies.
About. Newbies, yes. When we get, when you, folks, if you're out there generically and have no clue what I'm talking about, go to Facebook and look for T.J. Morris, Stephen D. Kelly, or Cynthia Mueller. And we'll become your friends. So that's where we'll start. Is that okay, Steve and Cindy, if we'll just say...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
and if I run out of friends, you can always subscribe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, that's something we're learning now, right, is they're cutting us off at 5K.
Exactly.
And we're having to start over. Now, I thought we were going to talk to Steve, and I got to go back in and change it. People were calling in. I see now. I put Billy Meyer's story, Stephen Kelly. Now I got to go in and change the whole thing. Did you even know that, Steve?
I saw the heading, but I kind of figured those were just key words.
Yeah, well, in the beginning, until we do the show, unfortunately, Blog Talk Radio says, put up what you think your show is going to be about, all these tips, and then after you've had your show, go back in and change it. And it works really well for me because my show is so new age, so ascension age, so right now, and I'm not a very good task master. I don't have one of those whips. I can't keep people on topic, especially because I like serendipity. So people understand I'm very into synchronicity and serendipity.
In the moment.
In the moment. I sort of enjoy it, and a lot of people don't like it for that reason. But that's okay. We'll work it out. All right, well, we're going to put last night is changed to E.T. Billy Meyer, S.K. Co., Stephen Kelly Tells of Semyazi, which is me. So he let the cat out of the bag, which has changed the whole world.
Oh, by the way, it was S.K. Industries is the name of the company.
Oh, cool. Okay, but did you ever call it S.K. Co. or no?
Well, some people have referred to it as like Laser Co., SK Laser. So it's, you know, but it's actually SK Industries.
All right. Well, I'm going to change it right now. I'm going to change the SK from the Co. to IND on last night's folks. And it was E.T. Billy Meyer, SK Industries, Stephen Kell. What we're trying to do is trying to find these old friends and see if they'll come support him on Tuesday nights. But he was actually introduced on Monday. So he may have to wind up coming back if he has a venue following. So far, I had some people interfering with my numbers, which I didn't know who it was. It was the government or who, but I wasn't getting as many hits. Usually I have three times what I was getting, so that wasn't working, so I changed the venue name. But tonight I got to go in. I don't know what to call tonight. Do you? Because we started off with Tom Morris, and he didn't say very much.
When you were talking about your
husband?
Did
you give a suggestion?
When you were talking about your husband before, all of a sudden I got just like such a strong hit that it's like he gets all this pain. Like it's like shooting kind of pain, right?
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah, and it's like it's almost like he's like afraid. It's almost like they torture him with that.
Oh, he's under a lot of pain. Not to mention he tortures himself because he was an assassin for the President of the United States and the government and the Army and all these.
Yeah, it's all. It's something very complex.
He was also asked to volunteer for Alaska when they took people underground, and some of them, you know, they're supposed to be for a year to do with the trees and the plants and the physicists and the doctors, and they all volunteered, and some of them sort of went nuts. One girl killed herself, and they had to shut that down, and he has all kind of history. It's beautiful to hear him call it, but it's so shocking. You got to be a powerful, strong person. That's why the extraterrestrials were really concerned for me, because they know that he had the power as a commander to just shoot you between the eyes and get away with it, and nobody could touch him. But he's a very powerful person. But he's not like that in just everyday life. I mean, he knows a job from a everyday life, you know. But the thing was, they understand his royalty level and his commanding power over all the people that on Earth are trying to, you know, be like corporations that Steve. You know, Steve, you know what I'm talking about, when they're trying to sell you a bill of goods or say it's for protecting us and giving you all these $28 million and then, you know, telling you you can't have it, or you know what I'm saying. You understand
the carrot thing?
So it's a very psychological, controlled atmosphere with politics, and that's something I would have loved to go into it, because he could really command an audience, let me tell you. And I'm sure that he could. He used to teach weaponry and Russian intelligence to Americans, and he'd dress up like a Russian and be a Russian. And Cold War, you know, he's worked all over the world, and he's got some. I mean, it's just the way it was, folks. But today, the kids have just dropped their jaw. I think the closest thing we get to it now is what Steve was talking about with, you know, they do the job, go over because they think it's the way we should be to keep the world moving, you know, because that's the way we've created it, because we realized the war saved, America got busy, and we saved the world, but we also dropped Hiroshima. Oh, shoot, what the heck? Are we off? What is that? I guess we got to go, folks. What is that? Oh, my God. Where'd that come from?
You know,
I think they're trying
Teresa,
to end our show, okay?
Teresa,
what
they do is, like, whatever ET stuff, it's like it's something very complex. It's like it's sort of like how they put those implants in our ears. It's something that they do. It's some sort of technology that they can just tweak the person on and off and cause them extreme pain when they feel like it.
Well, I don't know, because Tom only worked with the good ones. He didn't work with the bad ones, and I know that for a fact. So,
but bad ones might have technology in him where it's
connected
with his
nerves. Oh, I don't know.
That could be because
of his power. Yeah, I never
thought
that he
was like good. It's like connected with his nerves that they can just tweak it on and off.
That's a good point.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I don't want to think about it. But one thing that Steve is trying to tell me is he knows I was a cop and investigator and work with the government, and I can handle weapons and all that. But I just prefer to try to make my America as promotional, positive, and marketable as possible. You know, I want to be part of the solution and not the problem. and sharing information while we're awakening and opening people's eyes, even about this Project 37 or what was it, option? See, I don't even know now.
Agenda 21. The
anti-GMO.
What was it called?
Oh, Prop 37.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a California thing, Prop 37. But as he said, what happens in California, usually America's sooner or later. Other states will catch on, and that's a good point, folks. So I know it was the California guy that got in trouble because of Governor Reagan and then President Reagan, and he tried to help him get better stats during the presidential year, which both Mitt Romney and Obama can learn from. But we got to realize Monsanto is taking over. We got to do something about that, folks. All right. Monsanto's gotten a little bit too big.
Well, Obama appointed Monsanto's.
That's right.
As a guy,
the VP of Monsanto
head of
is now
FDA.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, Monsanto is now in charge of our food safety. How did that happen?
Uh-huh. Excuse me? Talk about an oxymoron.
Yeah, and by the way, I just wanted to. I had this woman coming around polling on Sunday. I think it was Sunday. And she was trying to get people to vote for Obama. And I said, you know, I can't vote for him because of NDAA. And tried to explain to her what it was. And then she, you know, she's an African-American woman. And she said, well, the African-American community has a history. And, I mean, I don't know if she was just mind-controlled or what. But she was basically saying, you know, like, it's okay because they did this to African-Americans. Like, now, ha-ha, the whole country has it. I mean, it was just incredible,
all right, let me give you this.
Stupidity.
Millions Against Monsanto, a project of Organic Consumers Association, South Silver Hill Drive, Finland, that's F-I-N-L-E-N-D, Minnesota, that's your Nordic people, send a tax-deductible donation to OCA. But that is organicconsumers.org or Organic Consumers Association. Monsanto sues many small family farmers, folks. And there's Peter Schmeiser, a farmer in Saskatchewan, Canada, whose canola fields were contaminated by Monsanto's genetic engineer.
Is canola a real
Roundup.
Thing, or is that Canada oil? Is canola a real...
It's canola, and it's Roundup-ready canola by pollen.
Is that a real crop, canola?
Yeah.
I thought canola oil was like something they just made up, Canada oil. But, you know, I mean, even...
Oh, you think it's a brand name. Is that what you're saying?
No,
it is an oil, but it's not good stuff.
It's not good.
No,
but,
canola oil.
But, I mean, since the 70s, they've been just foreclosing on farms and just making, you know, it's kind of like Russia, you know, how they did collectivization to bring everything under one control. So the more they can get everything under one control, that's when they can enforce whatever want to enforce.
Canola is a seed, sweetie. I know a lot of people
aren't
in the
real
rural area, but it's harvested. It's harvested and crushed to make an oil. And I think what you did is there's canola oil in it. Yes, the Mayo Clinic, they can't see. The Mayo Clinic sort of bought. They don't want to interfere with the internet. You know, because of health and canola oil and should we be eating it or not. There's genetic variations, what they call a rapeseed, but that's been since 1960. So we have Wesson oil, canola oil, you know. There's stuff y'all can read, people, on canola oil derived from rapeseed.
And smell your oil when it goes bad, how it smells.
Oh, terrible. Yeah, but
I just cook with olive oil.
Well, GMOs are why you should never cook with canola oil. It's developed from a rapeseed. It's part of the mustard seed plant.
But you know what's amazing? In the schools, they use the light salad dressing, which is loaded with aspartame.
Yeah.
Oh, aspartame will kill you.
But that's all they have. That's all you can
get. I'm sorry, folks. I shouldn't tell you these things.
No, I know that.
It's
I'm
my nature
you.
To tell the truth. I can't help it. So if you don't want me around,
but that's what they're giving the kids. What they're giving the kids under
the
guise, under the guise of it being healthy because it's low fat. They're giving them aspartame.
Okay, well, California GMO Labeling Ballot Initiative. When is it coming up? So September 17th, Global Week of Action. That was when?
That's
right.
Tomorrow.
November, last month.
I don't know
September.
When they're voting. Well, if you don't know, will you come back tomorrow night and tell us then, Steve?
Right, I've got a voting pamphlet around here somewhere. I'll have to dig that up.
Yeah, because now you brought it up. We can't just leave everybody in the dark. So
once you
promote something, Steve, you're sort of connected to it. Now, really, folks, we don't want to be in politics. We want to remain balanced and independent, but when it comes to health, justice, sustainability, peace, and democracy, all right, these are consumer functions. We are consumers. Your vote counts. So just remember, we're all about health and prosperity and sustainability for human species. Go ahead.
General election. I got the voting day right here.
Oh,
Tuesday, November 6, 2012.
That's when you vote for the president.
That's the same time that you're going to vote for these propositions, too, I believe.
But that's just in California.
Now, let me look. Well, California general election is, Tuesday, November 6, 2012. Yeah, that's in California.
All right. Well, you've got a California choice, folks. Organic Consumer Association. We're going to have to go out and get some sponsors for our new beginning New Atlantis project, Cindy and Steve, so I suggest you put your tinfoil hats on and go find us some sponsors. But what it is we're going to bring together some people that are going to pay their own way into the venue. But we're going to have a co-op. So some of these organic consumer associations for health sustainability. Now, I have seen people before they shut me down, folks. I got too big for my britches on the internet with so many places that they shut me down for. But that's okay. I'm coming back. My magazines are just generically holding information because I've got to get me some new people. But we're all about health, prosperity, justice, sustainability, peace, and democracy. So put that on to how you think. And Steve, you sound like you're pretty much for the same campaigning efforts that Cindy is on the GMO and the, you know, if we all seem to be about the same. So we may want to bring that back Wednesday night with a more open light because tomorrow night is MUFA night. So meaning that I was a member of MUFA and I haven't really redone my thing, but we can still, my membership, I don't know, it's like $100 by the time you get through, but you get the internet email and the hard copy, and I like archiving it and all of that. So I may rejoin this year and pay my, I don't know what it is, $55 or $75, something like that. But I know I like the people, and that's something. But anyway, I'll probably turn the commercial back on for MUFON, and Wednesday's MUFON night we'll talk about UFOs, but we don't try to get over into the pictures or any of that stuff. So, Cindy, do you have anything to contribute, you think, tomorrow night about UFOs or anything like that?
I mean, I just have my little bits of stories.
All right. What about you, Steve? You got anything on the UFO front?
Well, we did talk about the silver last night briefly, and there's some areas that I'd like to discuss that we didn't get into. So, sure, there's still plenty of information.
All right, folks. Well, we'll continue then with our MUFON night and how we – now, here's what happened. MUFON, I sent a letter to MUFON, being that I did a commercial, I'm a member. But I was getting some bad PR back from various people because so many people have dropped out. And the reason was they said the board of directors were old. They weren't interested in listening to anything, any of the new guys trying to come in. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people have all these UFO Facebook files and websites, and they wanted me to create something different, which I did create socialparanormal.com, but I told them I was going more for the people and it's the species, you know, for the paranormal. But anyway, it's a whole big world. I've got the Alien ET UFO community if you want to join on Facebook. It's free, and Steve's joined. I don't know if Cindy has. Have you joined, Cindy, the page?
I'll check it out if you send me a friend request.
Yeah, we've got Alien Contact Investigator Research Group. But I got 30 or so websites. In other words, what I am, people, is I'm a marketing media manager. with a bunch of websites, speaking engagements. I got TJ Marsh Entertainment Org, and I'm trying to keep it real, but I also want to help everybody that wants help, and they're used to me doing it for years free in what they used to call the UFO world. And I said, well, y'all need to make it UFO ET world. So I would do these websites, get them going, and ask people to help. And then before I knew it, we had gone from a handful back in the day when there may have been 5 to 30 to, gosh, there's so many now. We have exploded this. And it used to be where you couldn't write a UFO book. There was only a few. And now it's like nuts because the book industry has just exploded in the paranormal world. So it wasn't just science fiction. But now we are going to promote the science fiction. Homeland Security does, because they realize, you know, we got all these great writers that came from science fiction. So we're going to support the science fiction world, and that's coming up in June in Chattanooga.
You said Homeland Security does? You said Homeland Security does?
Oh, yeah. They have the over there where you are, in Richmond, Washington, D.C. area. Yeah, they have their meetings. Homeland Security, and they had science fiction writers invited. Yeah, they worked together.
That's wild.
Yeah, that's interesting. Could you elaborate on that a bit?
Next time, sure, probably tomorrow night.
You guys, I'm gonna need to sign out here.
Yeah, we gotta go.
Right.
So it's been nice, folks. We'll be back.
Nice
Steve,
nice
thank
Teresa.
You very much. Yeah, we've been
good
off
night,
a
Cindy.
While.
And good night, but Teresa.
Good night.
Good night, everyone
Steve,
out there.
See you tomorrow night. Okay.
Sounds good
luck. I can't
Let's
figure out how
tomorrow.
To get. All right. Bye bye. Bye, Cindy. We'll see you tomorrow
Bye-bye.
Night.
Okay. Good night.